Hello.
Hello.
What up?
Oh, wow. What are you, gorging your face? I mean, you're supposed to be coming ready to go. Instead, you're munching on, it sounds like toenails. I don't know what you're doing.
Let's play a game. It's called Guess What Martin's Eating.
My guess is it would be Lay's potato chips.
Incorrect. Come on, Nick. That's not. What are you doing? I've been on a journey for the last 30 days. You think I'm going to stoop to the level of eating Lay's potato chips?
How about, what the hell is it? How about,
Welcome back.
Oh, well, thank you.
Martino, welcome back to the comfy couch of the banana hammock.
Thank you, thank you. It's nice to be back, Nick.
So good. You did your Australian walkabout.
Uh-huh.
Finally, you're back. I'm guessing you're eating truffle-flavored pork rinds.
You're closer. My wife got me a giant bag of mushroom chips from Costco.
Are they dried mushrooms?
Yeah, basically dried mushrooms with sea salt.
So it's not potato chips, mushroom flavored potato chips.
No. They're actual dried mushrooms.
And how are they?
They're really good.
You have the bag in front of you, or are you just stuffing hand-fisted mushrooms into your mouth right now?
No, I have a bowl with some mushrooms in it.
Oh, so you don't have the bag?
No, the bag's in the cabinet.
Darn it, because I was curious about the carb.
Oh.
The carb amount.
I don't know. I'm sure we can find out.
Because that sounds great.
They're really good. It's a big bag. It looks, it's very purple. The bag is purple. And, it says shrooms in giant purple letters.
Yeah, dog.
Costco, right? Is that where I go?
Sure, yes. I don't think you're a Sam's Club boy.
I don't even know.
I love it.
So I'm very good.
I'm happy you made it back from Nanda Parbat. So.
Yes, you know, I met up with Rush Al Ghul. It was a good time. it was a good time. I spent some time.
You sure you didn't meet up with Talia?
Well, you know.
All right. Oh, man, I'm telling you. The boys are back in town. Watch out.
Something like that.
Everything like that. What are you kidding me?
Something like that. You guys have done a fine job, let me just say. A fine job.
Oh, Gundy did all the heavy lifting. I was just there to hit the record button. That's all.
It was nice to actually listen to your podcast, Nick.
It was nice to listen to a podcast that I finally laughed at. Like the standard Nerdy Legion week of episode.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, he did all the heavy lifting. I just had to sit there and audibly nod, I guess.
Ah, yes. Man, yeah. I wish I should have done some. I don't know you wanted to know about these mushroom chips, or I would have looked it up.
I'm trying to lead my best low carb life, you know.
And no, I hear you.
Sounds right in my wheelhouse.
I mean, it's mushrooms. How many carbs do they have?
That's true, but you know, I could eat pork rinds that are low carb. But mamma mia, that's, I might as well just be pouring potato chip grease into my mouth.
Yeah, that's true. Here, I found it.
Ah.
Let's see here. Carbs. Total carbs, 8 grams for half a bag.
Half a bag?
Yeah.
Holy Christ. Is that a Costco size bag or is that just a standard size bag?
I don't know how big this bag is. Does it say anywhere on this? It is 2 ounces. But you got to remember, it's mushrooms. They don't weigh very much.
That's true.
It's a big bag. It's probably like 8 or 9 inches tall.
So does it look like a standard Dorito size bag?
It looks like a fancy Chip bag. Hey, you know what? Let me send
you
the link.
I mean size wise.
I don't even remember how to use Skype. How do you use Skype?
What's Skype? What's going on here?
How do I send a message? I really have no idea. What's happening? Oh, here it is. There you go. I found it. The website is itsamushroom.com/products.
Oh, my God.
For anybody that wants to check these out. I don't know how much they are because, like I said, my wife bought them for me at, I believe, Costco. Oh, here we go. You can get them on Amazon. They're $5.99 a bag.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really good.
Non-GMO, dairy-free, gluten-free, soy-free, trans-fat-free.
Mm-mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. And they have different flavors. You can get the original, the original is just like mushrooms.
Sure.
The ones that I have are the sea salt, which are delicious.
Okay.
There is also a mesquite barbecue.
Oh, jeez.
There is also a spicy jalapeno.
Oh, hold on.
And hold on to your horses. Where's my bell? See, I haven't podcasted in like a month. I don't know where anything's at. I don't even have my bell. There it is. Pizza flavor.
Pizza flavor?
That's what it says. Pizza flavor.
What the hell?
Wait, am I recording? I don't even know. What's happening to the show? Oh, no. Here we go. All right, yeah, I am recording. Good job. Good job, me.
All this gold's gone?
I don't know about gold. Maybe bronze. Maybe bronze.
How dare you?
Bronze.
Same old.
But they're delicious. If you
every time you debate on, wait, where's this? Where's the bell? Let's go. I'll just do the welcome back because it's running like a smoothly oiled dirty machine.
Well, so I haven't recorded in 4 weeks. In 28 days, I have not recorded a podcast. See, Travis, shame on you. Travis said I couldn't do a whole month. He was actually kind of right because it's 28 days.
Well, you did February. Give yourself a pat on the back.
Yeah, there you go. I did the month of February.
Is
not,
this the
not an elite
podcast
year.
Back?
Yeah.
Oh, I have the distinct honor. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Well, it's probably not going to be the first one out, though.
I pestered you the most.
No. Bill already asked me if I was going to be on tomorrow's Batpod.
Mm.
And I said, is tomorrow August 1st? Then yes, I will.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. See how that goes.
Yeah, why not?
These chips are highly recommended, though.
That sounds pretty. Now, what flavor would you choose out of the four that you listed?
I don't know, man. That mesquite barbecue sounds good.
Yeah, I think that jalapeno sounds good.
See, my concern on some of these other ones is that it's going to have too much, like, extra junk. You know what I mean?
See, I think the barbecue doesn't sound good because when have you had a lot of mushrooms with barbecue?
Mm. That's true. Actually, you know what? Now that you say that, the pizza might be the best.
It might be the best, yeah.
Because I do
Except
love pizza.
You know what they're missing?
Hmm.
An Asian-style one.
Oh, man, like a Szechuan spicy mushroom chip? Hell yeah. Yeah.
Kung Pao, that type of thing?
Kung like Pao Uncle. Shrooms.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. So those weren't the best shrooms you had during your spiritual life. Right?
No, they were not, but these are quite good.
All right.
I don't know what you're talking about, first of all.
I'm just talking about dried mushrooms. That's all I'm talking about.
Is it rude to be eating while I podcast? I don't know.
Yes.
It's been so
yes,
long. I have no idea.
Let me answer that question right off the bat. Yes, it is rude.
You know what? Here.
I'm
a cooking master.
If I brought – hey, I've been podcasting with you for how long? No clue. But – I knew if I brought attention to it, you would either immediately stop it or mute yourself, or you would go completely in the other direction. Mm. So,
I figured as much. I'm trying to be very mindful in all things that I do.
I like that.
Yes. But I'm also hungry, so.
And you don't give an F.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. I did have some mushrooms. We're going to talk about it later. Breaking sure. news, though.
Yes.
So I was talking to my dad the other day.
Nelson. Hello.
Hello,
listener
Nelson.
Listener to the show, Nelson. Hello. Yes.
Listener to the show, Nelson Ferretti. And we're talking. And so I had this idea. And he's like, interesting, because I was talking to your brother yesterday, Julian,
Dreamboat.
I was talking to your brother yesterday, and he said he's going to do the same thing.
Damn.
And I said, well, I guess I'm just going to head and do it. So through my month-long journey through Ananda Parbat, mm-hmm. I realized many things about life. And and one thing I realized is that oftentimes, Nick, we are we're simply afraid to do things.
Yes. Paralyzed.
Yes, paralyzed. Because you're like, well, what is so-and-so going to think? Like, what will I think? Like, how will this affect this person or that person? How will it affect me? We're afraid to do things sometimes.
Right.
And one thing that I realized through my magical journey into shroomery is that we shouldn't be afraid of things. So I'm thinking to myself, well, how do I begin this journey into breaking myself free of being afraid to do things?
Mm.
And I came up with this exact thing that I did and that I spoke with my dad about. So I shaved my head.
Wow. Holy cat. Is this because of a hot summer?
It is very hot.
Yeah, I know.
It is very, you know, global warming's real.
Yes. Thank you, Dan Quayle, for discovering global warming.
Yes, thank you, Dan Quayle. I don't know if people did it or if it's like a natural thing, but it doesn't matter. The point of the fact is it's hot as balls.
Yes.
So, and you know, I live in the South.
Yes, you do.
So you can imagine the heat. I'm telling you, right now I wish I would be like, I don't know. What's the temperature in Chicago right now? Is it nice? Does it feel okay? I bet it's like in the 80s, right?
This is, to be honest with you, this is the first day that it wasn't humid as hell.
Mm.
It was really, really nice. I actually opened up the house, aired it out because we had a lot of stale air going on.
Did you fart?
And you don't want to go into the spare bedroom. Let's put it that way.
I see.
Yeah, it's 67 right now.
Oh man, I wish.
Yeah.
What do I use for weather? what's a weather service?
Well, your phone is something that you could just throw out the window because there's nothing on that thing as you've gone through.
No, there's not. All right, here we go.
You could always say "Hey S" and ask her.
I could, but she's not plugged in, so I can't do that.
Son of a bee.
It is, it's not that bad right now. It says it's 71. I don't believe this.
I don't understand why you're complaining. 71's delightful.
According to darksky.net, it is 71 right now. Feels like 72. The high for today was 85. I don't think so. My truck said 96 when I left work today.
Well, you just left work a half hour ago.
Oh, so you know what? I know why. Because it's looking at New York weather.
Oh, are you sure?
That's
the
default.
Let me ask you a quick question. Are you sure that darksky.net, holy Christ, are you sure that that isn't telling you the amount of items that you need in a takeaway bag if zombies rule the earth? Darksky.net.
You never been to dark? I love Dark Sky.
Oh, sure. No.
Dark Sky is great. It's open source. It's fantastic. All right. It is 79 right now. Feels like 80. High today was 91. That's also not true. My truck said 96.
Well, your truck was outside baking in the sun. So
that's
who
true.
The hell knows?
That's true. That's very true. Anyways, it was hot. Not as hot as it has been, but it's hot. And I don't do well in heat. So, yes. Yeah, so that was part of it. Let me tell you. So this was like a two-step process.
Oh.
Right? Because when you're trying to overcome fears, you're like, let me see how we go about this. So I spoke with my daughter, Zoe, and I said, hey, I'm thinking about shaving my head.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no. Uh-oh. Do not shave your head. And I said, why not? She's like, you will not shave your head. You need to keep your hair and your beard. I said, well, I'm not shaving my beard. I'm just shaving my head.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, no, do not shave it. She doesn't know I shaved it because she's at her mom's this week. So I told my wife, I said, hey, I'm thinking about shaving my head. She's like, if that's what you want to do. And I said, you know what? That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Right.
Because that is what I want to do. I want to shave my head.
Right.
So I buzzed it. I took the clippers and I buzzed it because, you know, like you can't shave your head if you have a bunch of hair. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
guard.
You got to
no, no guard at first.
No guard.
Oh boy. Okay.
So I did no guard and, which I've done before. It's been many years, but I've done it before.
Right.
And, just to see. And I was like, you know what? That's not too bad. And my wife and Reagan were like, hey, we're going to go, I don't know, to the mall or whatever the hell they went. And I was like, that's cool. And Reagan's like, oh, you buzzed your head. It looks good. I said, yeah, I'm going to shave it. She's like, cool. I want to see when you shave it. So they were gone. And I was hanging out around the house doing a little bit of reading. And I was like, you know what? I'm making excuses. I'm not going to put this off any longer. So I went into the bathroom. And I lathered up my head, and I shaved it.
Dang. So it's nice and shiny and smooth.
It is very smooth. I put some, what oil did I put? Argan? Is that it? Is that right? Argan oil? Maybe? Sure. We'll go with that.
Sure.
So I bought this oil last year for my beard.
Yeah, I do recall that.
Because, you know, beard hair gets, it's tough, especially like as you grow it out. Justin recommended I get argan oil because that's what he uses. And Justin has a giant, manly, luxurious beard.
Yeah, it's pretty epic.
And so I was like, all right, if you've got this epic beard and you're using it, then it must be good. So I bought some. And I'm going to tell you, that thing lasts forever because you only need like two or three drops. You know what I mean?
So did you lather up your skull and then do your beard as well since you're already like, let's do the whole thing?
Well, so here's the thing. So I don't have shaving cream or shave gel of any kind because, as you know, I have a man beard, okay, as opposed to a woman beard. I have a beard, so all I shave is my neck.
Right.
And because of that, I don't feel the need to get shave cream or shave gel of any kind.
Hey, you use soap.
I use hair conditioner.
Oh, well, that's still, it cuts down on the friction. It's the same shit.
Dude, hair conditioner, let me tell you, anybody that shaves their face, try hair conditioner next time. It is the smoothest shave you will ever have.
Thanks.
So I did some hair conditioner, and that's what I do for my beard. But I went to my head, and we're out of conditioner. Because I don't use conditioner. My wife does, but she's been buying this like 2-in-1 shampoo now. That's like shampoo conditioner, and she doesn't wash her hair as often anymore. She's using dry shampoo a lot now because it's better. Okay. It's better for the hair, not to wash it all the time because, you know, washing your hair dries it out. So I was like, well, shit, I don't have any conditioner, so I just took some of my body wash and I just lathered my head up and went to town. And,
so were you debating on using the Cholulu hot sauce first, and then you're like, no, let's go with body wash.
You got it.
Okay.
You got it. But then after I shave my head, I rub some argan oil on my head.
Nice.
Because, you know, I don't want my head to dry out. I've never shaved my head in my entire life. I don't know what's going to happen.
Right. You've only buzzed it, right?
Yeah, I've only buzzed it.
Right.
But I'm gonna tell you, it's nice. It feels weird, right? Because like when you walk in the house, your head is cold.
Yeah, you get a breeze.
Yeah, you get a breeze. But it's nice. And upkeep is going to be simpler. We'll see. This has only been not very long.
When did it happen?
Like 2 days ago.
So you look like David Carradine from Kung Fu.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. But
or did you do high school swimmer and you shaved all your body hair?
No, because I lost a bet in high school one time and shaved the land down under, Australia, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it was the worst experience of my life.
Yeah, it's not fun growing back.
No, growing back, it's terrible. It's so itchy.
And it's smooth and cool for a little bit of time, but then you never realize how much the hair soaks up the sweat.
You know,
so you're just pooling up the entire time.
I was going to say, I feel like you sweat more.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense, because you would think having hair would make you sweat more. But I think the fact that you don't have hair, there's nothing to like move the sweat out of the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not being displaced anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it just like bundles up.
Did you pull the Charles Manson and shave your eyebrows too?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I did not.
So you still look sane.
Yes. Well, the one thing I said to myself is that I was not going to shave my beard because I like my beard.
And how many people at work came up to you, especially bald boys, came up to you and like, dude, what are you doing? Shaving? How dare you? I wish I could have that.
Well, and it's pretty obvious that I'm not going bald, because even when you shave your head, and you know, I have very dark hair. Yeah. So even with my head shaved, you can still see like a shadow of hair.
Oh yeah. Within 3 hours, you see a little shadow.
And so you can tell I'm not going bald. You know, that's not why I shaved my head.
Right. But I'm saying bald people will be like, come on, you had a good head of hair. Damn it.
No, so far, positive reactions.
Oh, I'm sure they're all positive. Yeah.
So far, positive reactions.
Do you like the beard bald thing? How do you like
it? I like it. I like it. I thought about growing my beard out thicker, bushier. Oh,
okay.
But the problem is, my beard is graying out.
Oh, gotcha.
My head is not gray, but my beard is getting gray.
Oh. Like so, splotchy gray?
Mostly like around the sideburn area.
Okay, gotcha.
And then a little bit around the chin. And the thing about gray hairs is I already have thick hair, and gray hairs are thicker than normal hairs.
Oh, yeah.
And so because I already have very thick hair, my gray hairs are like it looks like I'm growing quills out of my face.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
They're harder. They're like
firm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm undecided. I'm undecided.
Now, could you taper the beard down and go to a shishi barber and get it really like cut and manicured, and like, would that alleviate more of the gray?
My friend, I have had this beard for 15 years.
Yes.
I am an expert at trimming this beard. I don't need some foo-foo barber to trim my beard.
I'm just saying, if you can't fade from the side down to, you know, your jawline, if you can't fade that down using a clipper, you know, you go see somebody.
Mm. So I was...
Because with the fade, there goes the gray on the sides, is what I'm thinking.
Sure. I mean, I trim my beard. I use clippers. What setting do I use? I think like the 2 or 3 guard. I can't remember.
Sure.
And I trim them. And it's long enough where it kind of melds into the baldness.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, but it's not like completely fading into the non-existing hair on my head.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you call up the Dreamboat and ask him if he did it?
No, I have not. I have not.
Ah, okay.
I'm curious.
Yeah, same here.
I'm curious. He'll listen to this and be like, you mother effer. No, I'm going to message him before that.
Good.
Yeah. But it's nice. It's nice, you know?
Oh, I can only imagine how much cooler you feel.
Mm-hmm. It just feels weird. So, like, you know, I haven't recorded in a month. So I went to put my headphones on, and it felt very odd to have my headphones directly in my bald head.
As the ear piece, like, fell down around your chin line. Like, oh, my God, I had so much hair up there.
Yeah.
That's great.
So it's cool. Yeah.
Another question to loop on back. Your conversation with Nelson. Everything A-OK in his life?
Yeah, he's buying a house tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, today? Today. I'm going to call him tomorrow.
That's great.
Yeah. He was telling me about the wonderful time he's been having going through the whole procedure of purchasing a home.
Are you saying that sarcastically, or
of course,
is that something he really digs?
Okay. No, no. It's been horrible. We didn't. I don't know how your experience was with your home, but we had a very good experience. We used, not a sponsor. We used Quicken Loans.
Oh, neat.
And it was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Stress-free.
Everything was all online. We didn't have, people calling us, hey, can you send us this? Can you send us that? Nobody called us until, the offer was accepted on the house. And then they called to set up an appointment for them to come over to the house so we can sign paperwork.
Great.
That's it. But apparently he's been, got to send this, got to send that, got to send the other. I was like, I don't know. I had a good experience.
Wow. Is he somebody that hunkers down in a place, or is he one of those people that every 5 years he's moving?
No, he's good for hunkering down, especially now, man. I mean, you gotta remember my dad, how old is my dad? 65.
Yeah. So this could be one of his last places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good, good, yeah. Good.
He's like, I was looking forward to retiring, but now they moved the retirement age up a year, so now I gotta wait at least another year.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Have you gone out and seen it, or are you just waiting to go see it later down the road?
Once they move in, I'm planning on going up there the 15th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let them unpack a little.
Up there, down there, let's look at a map. Across there. West of here.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because he's closer location-wise to Julian, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'm trying to think. No, I think he's actually closer to me than he is to Julian.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. He's in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Okay. Ooh, that's got to be hot.
Oh, no doubt.
Every time I hear Georgia, I'm always like, oh, boy. No one ever says anything fabulous about summer in Georgia.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's hot here. I think it's hotter there. Here's the weird thing, though. So, South Carolina is a weird state because depending where in the state you are is what kind of weather you have. Even though it's not, it's not a big state. But if you are, in Columbia, for example, right, the capital, which is almost in the center of the state, you get a lot of weather from, the coast.
Mm.
Okay. So you do get some breeze and a lot of rain and stuff like that. I'm in the upstate, so I am less than an hour from Charlotte. I'm about 2 hours – well, it's 45 minutes to Georgia, but about 2 hours from Atlanta. And because we have a mountain range near us, below us and above us, we actually don't have the same weather as the rest of the state. We get Atlanta weather. So whatever weather Atlanta gets, that's the weather we get 2 days later.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. So it gets very interesting sometimes.
I can only imagine.
I can only imagine. Who sings that? I don't know.
But, I have no idea.
But yes. I'm gonna give you a shout out, Nick.
Uh-oh.
Because over the last few weeks, you've proven what I've been saying all along.
Oh, what did I do now?
Welcome to the Nerd Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore.
Oh, brother.
What a great host you are.
No. I keep the cable car on the tracks. That's all I'm doing.
I mean, you keep the conversation going. You don't eat mushroom chips while you're recording. You're very nice to your co-host. I mean, God.
You are, that's what, you're the extreme talent that we have on the show. I might keep the cable car on, but you're the talent. You're the rock star. So I have to treat you with kit gloves. You're my Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan, isn't she like a meth head?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. She's a weird one. There was a time where I was like, man, Lindsay Lohan's so hot. And after a while, I was like, where's Lindsay Lohan at? And then she reappears, and I'm like, Lindsay Lohan's not hot. I don't know if, like, something happened in that period of time where Lindsay Lohan became unhot, or if I just, like, imagined that the whole time.
No, she had a good, like, couple years there, right around Mean Girls.
Yeah, Mean Girls, or, like, remember what she did? What was that movie, Herbie?
The Love Bug?
Yeah, Herbie the Love Bug. I think she was a little younger there.
Yeah, I'll stick with my answer, Mean Girls. But if you want to go with the pedophile answer of Herbie the Love Bug, feel free.
Herbie, well, how old was she? She was like 16.
I don't know. 17. You think what am I, IMDb of Lindsay Lohan? No, thank you. All I know is she fell off the bus, off the wagon, because of all the paparazzi and stress. And all of a sudden, she is drinking a lot, doing whatever a lot, trying to evade the press, and then finally she moved to, oh God, recently, like the last 2 years, she moved to, not Iran.
What?
What's that, it's like the craziest city in the world, like the largest building in the world is Dubai? There. Yeah, she's in Dubai.
Because, is she dating like a prince or something?
No, she's dating no one. Well, I just heard her on Howard Stern. She's dating no one, but she moved to Dubai because she wanted to get away from paparazzi. And people are, it's illegal to take pictures of somebody unless you ask first. And no one there asks to take any pictures of her. So that's where she's been for the last 2 years.
Mm.
Yeah.
So Herbie the Love Bug came out in 2005.
Okay. All right.
Lindsay Lohan was born in 86, which means she was 19 when that movie came out.
Yeah. And so, when was Mean Girls?
Mean Girls was the year before, 2004. So she was still legal.
Maybe I'm the pedophile. Watch out. Is Chris Hansen going to break into my house? Nick, I have some video footage. Please sit down. Sir, do not leave this table.
I'll be recording one day. My wife will come over and be like, isn't that your friend Nick?
I'm Chris Hansen.
Sir,
yes. You say that you're a gardener at this person's house, but clearly you're holding a vacuum staring in her window. Do you realize she's 12 years old?
See, I almost said Freaky Friday, but she was she was 17 then. Freaky Friday. Well, she probably would have filmed it younger, but it came out in 2003. Yeah, 17. Interesting. Oh, she's from the Bronx. I'm from the Bronx. We're like twins.
I thought she was from Long Island.
Oh, it says she was born in the Bronx.
Maybe she just grew up in Long Island.
Yeah, you know, that's what she's messed up.
But yeah, she fell. Ooh, she was tabloid fodder there for 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Yeah, she was.
She was a TMZ wannabe. Well, not even wannabe. TMC star. Megastar.
Megastar.
I don't even know if we would have TMZ if it wasn't for like 3 or 4 starlets there at the beginning of TMZ.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, everybody wanted to know all that information. And then now we're just like, whatever. And boy, when she was on Stern, let me tell you, there was not a facial expression, a facial reaction ever that crossed that face. There really? Is so much. Oh, the amount of filler.
Botox.
There was something filling in that face. That's all I know.
Are you serious?
She barely could open up her mouth.
Oh my God, that's shameful. She's like 33.
She's young. I know. Crazy. How did we start talking about Lindsay Lohan? Welcome to the Nerdy Legion.
Listen, I have no idea.
But thanks for the compliment. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's been good. Gundy's awesome.
He is. I know. He said he was uber stressed about it. He's like, I couldn't do this every week. I don't see how you and Martin do it. And I'm like, dude, Martin's on like 5 other podcasts. I'm like, I have one.
Look, let me tell you. For anybody that like always wonders Like, should I do a podcast about blah, blah, blah? The answer is always yes.
Yeah.
Okay? Let me tell you why. The problem is people overthink this whole podcast thing. Okay? I understand that, like, some people want to make this their career. Good luck. Want to make money on it. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why I do it. You know what I mean? Like, this is my hangout time.
Right.
I don't, like, do podcasts with people I don't know. I mean, I do sometimes. I have before. But, like, the ones that I regularly do, I don't do with just, like, randos.
Right.
I do with people that I know. You know what I mean? So it's like, hey, let's get together for 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, and talk about, like, movies or comic books or whatever.
Yep.
That's and not, I, like, you know?
I completely agree, but also as a listener of many podcasts, when somebody says, hey, I have an idea. I want to do a podcast about Teen Titans. I'm exactly like you. I'm like, good, go do it. Do it. Yeah, that sounds great. Hey, if you can't figure it out, let me know. I'll help as much as I can. But you know what I want that podcast to be about? Teen Titans.
Mm.
I don't want to hear anything else. Like, don't start talking about Spectre comics. If Teen Titans ain't in that, don't even bring that onto the pod. Like, if you want structure, give yourself structure. But if you want to be free reign, then give yourself free reign. But don't tell me it's a Batman podcast without it being about Batman.
Mm. Yeah.
'Cause that drives me crazy. That'll drive me like, ooh, unsubscribe. Thank you.
Well, that's why you gotta be like really good when you pick a name, right? 'Cause like, let's just say, for example,
mm-hmm.
you named your podcast, I don't know, let me throw something out of a hat. Where's my hat? I don't have a hat. All right.
Your bell.
Here, out of my mushroom bowl. I just wanted to get some mushroom chips. So let me just throw this out there. Let's say you wanted to make a podcast called I don't know, The Big Two. Okay, let's just say that.
Yeah.
And if you call your podcast, let's just say The Big Two.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that you're going to talk about?
Comic book wise.
Yeah.
Marvel and DC.
All right, Marvel and DC. So if you start talking about, like, I don't know, let's just throw something random out of a hat, like Vampirella. Okay? Vampirella is not Marvel or DC.
Unless it's a crossover with Batman.
Sure. But let's just say we're talking about the brand new Vampirella number one that just came out.
Yeah, from Dynamite or whatever.
Yeah. You know, if I go somewhere to listen to this podcast, I'd be like, well, that's not Marvel or DC, I'm gonna turn it off. You see what I mean?
The only thing that I could be forgiving, like, we are just a babble fest. We don't have show notes. Sorry to peel back that curtain. Sorry to reveal that, Martin. I know you like a steam train that's
I don't know.
On schedule.
I don't know what you're talking about. I keep impeccable notes.
You do. Read them in the write-ups. They're brilliant. I love them. But your example? If somebody was talking about whomever, Marv Wolfman, his run on DC, and then all of a sudden he or she mentions, oh, currently Marv Wolfman is writing Vampirella for Dynamite Comics. I read the first four issues. Here's my thoughts about it. Like, that is acceptable, but if there is no tangent back to DC or Marvel, that unsubscribe button would be getting hit within a couple episodes. Just because that's not what I go there for.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So,
I go to Dynamite Central if I want to hear about Dynamite Comics.
Yes. Go subscribe to that.
Yeah, it's a great podcast.
It's back. You know what else? Mm-hmm. If you like old school games.
Oh, golly. Yes, I do.
You can go listen to the Retro Reprise podcast now on the Nerd Legion Network.
I know. That's a goodie.
It's great.
Yeah.
Great. I'm glad to have Adam on. Mm-hmm. But, so there's that. So, like, for example.
It's just a pet peeve for me. That's the thing. Like, I go to Bill Simmons' podcast because the majority of his talk is sports. Now, he does celebrity interviews, but he has pretty much called it the Bill Simmons podcast, not Bill Simmons on sports. If it was about sports, I want interviews with sports people, not celebrities.
Mm.
Like, I'm very specific, like you said, if you're going to, when you first lay out your podcast with its name and here's the mission statement, you better follow that mission statement.
That's why I think this podcast has the perfect name, because nerdy implies any number of topics.
Mm-hmm.
See, originally we picked it because we're going to talk about like comic book stuff and video game stuff and like nerdy shit. But then the meaning expands.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can be nerdy about all kinds of things.
For sure.
Right? I mean, we're mm-hmm. nerdy about food. We're nerdy about haircuts. We're nerdy about ascots. We're mm-hmm. nerdy about all kinds of things. And,
don't put us in a box.
And Legion, I mean, perfect. Usually it's us too. But it can mean any number of people could come on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, originally it was a Legion because there were like six of us.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. By the way, shout out to Rob Krieger. I don't know if you saw my mug that he sent me. It's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I'm using it right now. Thank you, Rob Krieger.
Oh, he's the best.
Mm-hmm. He is.
No, it's about our passions. But if it was called the Nerdy Marvel Podcast, don't know if I'd be talking about all these topics.
I mean, maybe. Who knows?
Possible. But I'm just saying, if a listener, a subscriber, said, oh, yeah, I'm unsubscribing to that because they don't just talk about Marvel stuff, I'd be like, yes, you should. You should unsubscribe.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
This episode brought to you by itsamushroom.com. Go get yours today. They're really good. I just ate this whole damn bowl.
I got to try them.
Dude, so, I mean, it's two servings per bag. I've been eating this thing for like 2 weeks.
Nice. Costco would have a much bigger bag than buying it off of Amazon.
I don't know. Maybe she didn't get it at Costco. Maybe she got it somewhere else. I know she had a Costco bag or something with her. I don't know. Some Costco thing with her. Uh-oh. Did I lose you?
No.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Right here.
There you are. I thought I lost you. I heard some clicking.
No. I'm here.
Okay, good. Woof.
What else has been going on with you? Have you at least kicked it down to low gear for a little bit of your four-week walkabout?
Low gear.
Didn't sound like it. Like, every time we communicated, which I purposely tried to not communicate as much with you. I don't know if you noticed at all, but I was trying my best.
You don't love me anymore!
No, I just wanted you to have a footloose, fancy-free time. But every time we communicated, it sounded like there was a lot going on professionally.
Yes. However, I will say...
That never went to low gear. It didn't sound like it, at least.
I will say, professionally, I feel like I'm in a very good place right now.
Great.
For a while, I wanted to no longer be there.
Hmm?
But I am in a new office right now.
Nice.
Which is nice, because I don't have to see my boss every day.
Yeah, that's good.
I am the ultimate boss. So that's nice. I am going into work earlier.
Oh.
But I'm also leaving earlier.
Oh, good.
So, like, usually I'm leaving there by, like, 3 o'clock.
Perfect.
But I'm going in at 6.
Yeah. Ooh. But the drive and getting there that early, I'm sure you don't deal with all the headaches that are there at 10 in the morning.
Yeah, so it's nicer to be out that early. I feel like I've been doing it wrong the whole time until now. I do, because I feel like getting to work earlier, I mean, obviously not every job like has, you know, like you can't just...
Flexibility.
Yeah, there you go, flexibility.
Not all positions have flexibility either.
That's very true. It's very true. But I feel like going in that early, I'm getting so much more done by like 9 o'clock.
Yep.
And then like the rest of the day, smooth sailing. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what Julie the Cruise Director says, because she goes in at 5:30 And she goes, by the time everyone arrives, I've done twice as much work as I would if I went in at night.
Mm.
Because she doesn't have anyone, any interruptions or extra emails coming across where you have to stop. And it's the changing of gears where she can just hyper-focus from 5:30 to 9 and get a lot more done.
Yeah, it's nice. It's,
yeah, that's great.
It's nice. Because, like, at the same time, like, there's nobody else there, usually till, like, 7:30 or 8. So, like, there's those 2 hours where it's just, like, just me. I have my headphones in, and I'm just in the fucking groove, you know what I mean?
Right.
And then people start coming in. I've already got the whole day planned out for everybody. It feels like getting the extra, you know, hour, 2 hours of sleep is not worth it.
Now, do you find yourself going to bed earlier just to try to readjust your body a little?
So I have like once or twice. But for the most part, I'm still going to bed like about the same time, like, you know, about midnight or so.
Wow.
But it just, I feel like giving me that time to plan and ramp up.
Yeah.
Makes me more productive. I did read something about this, not during my, my month in Nanda Parbat, but previously, I can't remember what, it might have been, maybe it was a podcast, not a book that I read. But there was something about like a lot of really successful people get up at like 4 a.m. And I never like understood why that might be good or helpful.
Sure.
Cause it seems like losing hours of sleep would be counterproductive. But I find it to be the opposite, where if you wake up earlier when nobody else is up, you're able to do more. And so the rest of the day is less stressful because you've already accomplished so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah. My grandfather always used to say he woke up because he would wake up real early so he could go fishing. So he could be there like right when the fish are there and awake and, you know, before anyone else's. And he always used to say the best time is to be awake when the world's asleep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. It's very true. I noticed that too, like when I go camping, right? Cause when you go camping, and especially the way that I like to go camping, right? Like some people like to glamp, right? They'll go in an RV or get a cabin or whatever. I don't do that. When I go camping, I rough it,
right?
I have my tent, my sleeping bag, and I find a spot in the middle of the woods, and that's where I camp out. And so because of that, like, there's nothing to do when the sun's down. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, there's
what
no
other
lights
options
or anything.
Do you have?
So you just go to sleep.
Yep.
And then you end up waking up at like 5 or 6 in the morning when the sun comes up.
It seems like Mother Nature sort of knows what they're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's like a great night's sleep because you don't have any sound of a city. You don't have anything disturbing you. Your phone's not buzzing.
Absolutely. It's fantastic.
No distractions. Yeah.
So one thing that I've realized, is that you know me. I've been on this road to simplifying for a very long time. I even joke with my wife. We went to Barnes & Noble last week, and it was Zoe's birthday. She turned 9.
Oh my gosh. That story, I want to come back to. I want to hear all about that. You know that.
So one of the things she got was a gift card to Barnes & Noble because she likes to read. She's my twin. We joke about this all the time. She calls me twin daddy. And so we went to Barnes & Noble so she could pick up some books. And I was browsing around. And there's like this little like tower with books all around it. And they had some minimalism books on there. Like the Marie Kondo stuff and, you know, whatever. The minimalist guys. And there was a book on there. I can't remember what it was. Like the Swedish art of... Oh God, what was it called? It was a fantastic title. Something like The Swedish Art of Death Cleansing, something like that.
Wow.
Which, you know, like the Marie Kondo thing's popular now, whatever. She's got the show on Netflix. She's got books and whatever. But apparently like this is a Swedish thing too that's been going on for like 1,000 years. And that's what this book is about. And so I picked it out and I showed it to my wife because, as you know, my wife is the exact opposite of me and likes to hoard everything. And she did not find it funny.
Can I ask you, is the title The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning?
That's it.
How to free yourself and your family from a lifetime of clutter.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
I looked it up. You are right. Margarita Magnuson.
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
That's it. It's nice, too. It's a small book, but it's hardcover.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about getting it, but I was like, what, how much else could I get rid of? You know what I mean?
$14 on Amazon.
Yes. Yes.
So, that's great.
Yeah, my wife did not find it funny, though.
Well, yeah. You're ready to move into a tiny home, and she's like, no.
Yeah, yeah. We had this conversation again, my wife and I.
She's like, I want a motorized scooter indoors. That's how big I want my house. Come on.
Well, you know, like Reagan's turning 16 in October.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife's like, you know, like, what are we going to do when Reagan goes to college and this, that, and the other? And I was like, let's just buy some land and put a tiny home in it. And she's like, I can't live in a tiny home. Why would I be in a tiny home? I don't know, I have any space. And so, you know, as part of this journey through Nanda Parbat, I said to myself, well, babe, how much room do you need? Because, like, basically, when she gets home, she goes into the bedroom and, like, reads or watches something on the TV in the bedroom. And then, like, she'll come out when we have dinner and whatever, and then she'll go back in there. And, like, a lot of times we'll just hang out in the bedroom. So, like, why do we have this giant house if you're just hanging out in the bedroom?
So you just have to convince her, let's look at your activities. I'm not asking you to give up your iPad, and I'm not asking you to give up your television or internet. That can all be done in a tiny home. But all the clutter do you need? Like, do you use? Do you need? Pretty crazy.
Yeah. I mean, for a long time, I've done the thing where, like, if I don't use it for a year, then I don't really need it.
Yeah.
But her thing is, you know, a lot of things that she has have some kind of emotional attachment.
Sentimental meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah. I totally get that, right? Like, there's a lot of people listening to the show that are that exact way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, like, the reason, like, we read comics, for example, or the reason why I love sci-fi so much is that exact same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, when you were a kid, you got into comics and it gave you like an escape from reality and it gave you like a super cool world with like different kinds of people that had all these abilities and whatever. And like you wanted that, right? Like you wanted to be Superman or Batman or Spider-Man or whatever.
You might be stuck in Brooklyn, but every comic book is somewhere else, somewhere you've never been.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like, you know, same thing with sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, the majority of sci-fi isn't like a present-day thing. I mean, there's some stories like that, but the majority aren't like that, right? Like, they're post-apocalyptic, or it's some, like, alt-history thing, or it's a futuristic thing, or there's some alien thing, or whatever, right?
Yeah, the tropes are there for a reason.
Right. And so I totally get that. But at the same time, I feel like how much of that is really important, right? Yeah. Like, I don't need a physical thing to remind me about my grandfather, right? I mean, my grandfather's been dead for, like, 30 years.
Right.
So I don't even know if I have a physical thing. Like, there might be a picture somewhere of my grandfather in this house. I have no idea. If it's still here, it's because my wife put it away somewhere. You know what I mean? I have no idea. It's not one of those things where, like, I go out and I'm like, oh, I miss my grandpa. Let me look at this picture. Right? Like, I remember my grandfather. I remember my grandfather through my memory of my grandfather.
I will say there are a couple, but I would probably keep this to 3 to 5. But there are a couple items from, like, my grandfather, grandmother, or even my mom and dad. Like, if they, God forbid it, or if they, whenever they pass away, they pass away, there might be a couple items that I would be interested in having not on display, but like, oh, there's a doorstop that I remember was my grandmother's and now my mom has it. So that would be something I would want.
Mm.
But beyond that, I can't even think why I would want that stuff.
Yeah.
But I will say to that end, I was just talking to Julie, the cruise director, about this a couple weeks ago. The one regret I had was when my grandfather passed away. He was a mechanical engineer that after he retired, he really got into woodworking.
Mm-hmm.
And he had hundreds, if not thousands of dollars worth of just back in the day. Yeah, and I'm sure you can remember it as well. They built stuff to last. And my grandfather had tons of machines, tons of like woodworking machines and tools that if I had the space, I would have loved to have them just because it's like that is something I actually still want to do later in life. And if it's my grandfather's machines, one, how much more kick-ass would that be? And two, I would have quality instruments instead of this disposable throwaway crap that companies are now building now, currently.
Mm. See, so like something like that I would understand, right? Because there's like a valid use to it. Like there's some value in still having that around.
Yeah, it's right? A function
thing. Yeah, yeah. It's very functional. I remember like a few years ago, my wife got so mad at me because, and it wasn't even my fault. She had this computer when we got together. Mm-hmm. And it was already old. Like I would say at least 6 or 7 years old when we got together. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like computers don't last forever.
No.
The hard drive died on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to recoup it, couldn't recoup it. I did work some magic. I was able to get some data out of it, which I saved on a different drive. But the drive would not boot. I had to just like reformat it. I had to whatever. Long story.
Yeah.
I was able to fix it, but there would be no data in it. And my wife was so angry because all her music was gone.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, granted, I managed to save probably like 95% of the pictures, okay, like 2,000 pictures. Could not save any of the music.
I would say the pictures are more important.
The pictures are more important. But like for some reason, there was some kind of value to her having this music, which I don't understand. And at the time, I didn't ask to understand because to me, it was silly. Especially, you know, like when now you can just stream whatever you want, whenever you want. Matter of fact, it even came up, I think the last time it came up was last year. Cause she's like, she said something and I was like, where's my blah, blah, blah. And I was like, your music's been gone for forever. She's like, did you lose my pictures too? I said, no, your pictures are on my computer on a hard drive. If you want them, we'll set them up. So now she can actually access them now because I set up, we can briefly talk about this later. I set up a server in my living room so, we can share calendars and sync files and all that stuff, within everyone in the house. So she's got all her stuff in there. Now I don't need to hear about it anymore. You know what I mean? Just get on the app and get them yourself.
Yep.
But, yeah, I just don't get that stuff. I mean, it's just like random stuff, right? So like, we both agree, like pictures, yeah, you probably want to have those to an extent, I would say. I've never been like big on pictures.
Right.
But, you know, like my wife's got these giant plastic containers under the bed full of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Like the entire under the bed is just containers of pictures. You know, in the laundry room, there's a toy box that was her toy box when she was a kid, and it's just got like random shit in it, including like a record player that doesn't work. we drove an hour and 15 minutes to her parents' house to pick this thing up when they found it. Okay, because she hadn't seen it in like 30 years.
No.
When they found it, so we went to pick it up. I brought it home. I took it out. I put it in the laundry room, and it's been in the laundry room for 3 years. She has never even opened it. and to me, like I don't understand that kind of thing. You know what I mean? like, I understand the sentimental value of things, but I think sometimes some of us worry too much about those things.
Sure.
Because, like, ultimately, it's not really the thing that gives you that, like, nice feeling of something that you want to remember. It's the feeling itself that you want to remember, right?
Yeah.
So, to me, like, the best way to keep that is to internalize that experience or that memory, instead of having a thing that just sits around for the odd time where you might decide to open that toy box.
Sounds logical.
But I don't know. And I'm curious for people listening, like what your reasoning is for going one way or the other. I'm more curious, like, if you are a, we'll just say hoarder, because I think that's just like the colloquial word for it. but like, if you just like to keep things, you know what I mean? Like, I'm curious, like, why do you want things, so many things?
Sure, sure. I don't think I have that, answer for you. I mean, granted, I have a lot of stuff in the basement that I need to go through, but I think it was also the OCD collecting comics, collecting music, collecting, you know, collect, collect, collect.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've certainly turned a new leaf to that.
Mm. Yeah, my it comes up all the time in conversation. Well, I don't say all the time. It's like an everyday thing. Every once in a while, it'll come up in conversation. Because like when I moved in with my wife, I brought all my belongings that I found that I needed to bring with me, which was a suitcase with my clothes, a couple of pictures I had on the wall, and in my bed. Like, that's literally what I moved in with.
I remember you telling me that.
And this has always been a thing, right? Like, when I left New York literally with that same suitcase. I mean, it's a big suitcase, granted. Mm-hmm. It's probably, you know, like 4 foot tall, like 3 foot wide, 2 foot deep. It's giant. But like, if it doesn't fit in there, I just feel like it's too much. You know what I mean?
But then how do you deal with the comics situation?
Well, that's a different story. And I'm glad you brought that up. Because I have been giving this a lot of thought. Because as you know, I've moved a lot to digital, but I was still getting some physical comics. But like, as the more I thought about it over this past month or so, the more I'm like, why am I buying some of these things?
Mm.
And I felt like it was the same reason why my wife has boxes and boxes of pictures that she never looks at, just for the simple fact of I want to have them. And with that regard, like, well, if I want to have them, I could just get a digital copy that I never have to worry about. So I have now officially switched 100% to digital.
Oh, wow.
Not only that, I took 150 trades to my local library.
Oh, congrats. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Because I was looking around, I was like, you know, like, I love all these books. Like, there's very few comics or trades that I buy that I'm like, I wish I hadn't bought that.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it happens, but very few. But I was looking around and I was like, you know, like, how often do I reread this?
Yeah.
Right? Or like, can I just get it on Comixology Unlimited? And not even have to ever worry about it. And the answer was yes for the majority of it. So I took a bunch. It was like, I don't even know how many it was, like 130 something, I think. I can't remember.
That's great. And you're also sharing it with a lot of other people that might not have ever read them.
Oh, and that's true. That's true. And I still have a lot. My goal is, like, over the next couple months to probably get rid of 90% of what I have left. There'll still be like a few things that I want to keep.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I feel like I'm not getting any additional thing of reading the physical copy as opposed to just doing the digital copy. And I mean, some of these trades are old. So yeah, I understand like the whole paper, the smell and the touching and this and the other. That's totally true. But I've just come to a point where, like, the nicety of that feeling isn't as rewarding to me as the, I don't want to say hassle. We'll just go with like cleanliness of things. You know what I mean?
The freedom of less stuff.
Yeah. We're like, I don't have to worry about like, well, oh shit, where did I put whatever, that Nightfall Volume 1, right? Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'll just open my tablet and read it. I'll go on the computer and read it. Right. It doesn't matter, right? And, like, I've already read it. So, like, you know, if I want to read it again, then I'll just buy it for $1.99. Like, whatever.
What would you say regarding that? What would you say are the amount of comics that you've already read in your lifetime that you actually are going to reread as well?
I mean, I will give you an exact number. Of all the comics that I've had, I've probably reread less than 20% of them.
That's why, like, digital services like Comixology Unlimited or Marvel Unlimited, it sort of does make sense if you're only rereading 20%.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need to own them? Like, just loan them, borrow them for however long you're going to read them.
And that's including, like, trades, right? So I may have reread trades more than that. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's some trades that I've read two or three times. But, like, floppies, the chances of me rereading a floppy are so slim.
Gotcha.
Because I don't want to, I don't, like, care to dive into the box and try to find it and bring it out. You know what I mean?
Old,
like,
old floppies.
Yeah, yeah. Batman is probably, like, the only example of that.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, like, not really, man. Because even then, like, I end up double dipping. You know what I mean? Like, I'll buy the floppies, and then when the trade comes out, I'll buy the trade.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I don't have to go dig through the boxes and find the floppy.
Yeah, I know. Every time we do a book club, you're always like, God, I hope I can find that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a hassle.
Yeah, too much hassle.
Yeah.
So I gave a bunch away, and I'm going to give some more out.
That's great.
I really wanted to set up this, like, a website to do, like, a trade thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even know, like, the logistics of that. Like, I don't even want to even bother with it. You know what I mean? Like, who pays for shipping? Like, how does this, do you even bother with shipping? Do you just, like, have a list? You just put, like, a spreadsheet up? Like, I don't know.
I like the ones that are, the service where you send your trades or your comics to a central base, and then they distribute them to overseas overseas service people.
Oh, yeah. I did that last year.
I think that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I mean, even if I have to pay for shipping, it's like, man, those are going to people that I'm sure really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, I hate to say it, your local library, how many people are going to be checking that? You know, your trades out and reading them for the first time and falling in love with a character that they never read before, you know?
Especially at my local library, because I don't live in a big town. And the graphic novel section's not very big.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's fantastic.
I'm going to tell you, I probably, like, tripled their trades.
Great.
So that was nice. You know what I mean? Like, somebody else can read it.
That's a fantastic feel good.
Somebody else can read it. I'm picking through some of the ones that I still have left over, because I'm going to give those to Zoe.
Mm-hmm.
Because Zoe's really good about, like, sharing her stuff as well. Like, every time she goes out and buys a book, which, like, every weekend we go to Barnes & Noble and she gets a book. when school's in session, like, she'll take it to school and, like, she lets her friends borrow her books.
Neat.
And then they give them back to her, like they trade books or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's good too. I think it'd be good for her. I mean, cause she likes a lot of the stuff, same stuff I do. But then also, like, maybe some of these other kids can get into that stuff as well.
Hey, sharing reading, the joy of reading, there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that's my plan for the next couple of weeks. I think the way it's looking right now, like, I'll probably be left over with probably like two shelves worth of trades.
Wow.
I mean, they're not small shelves. How big is a shelf? 6 foot? So, I mean, that's probably still like way too many trades. But
it's a good first step to paring down.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I'm still undecided about like some of the floppies. I have considered getting rid of a large chunk of my collection. I just
like selling or giving away.
I have not decided yet.
Yeah, because it seems like if you can make, even a certain percentage back on it, well, it might be worth your time.
Yeah.
To just get a little, you know, a certain amount set aside for a rainy day for something special, you know?
Yeah. I haven't decided yet. I've got to go through all that stuff. I did just get rid of, how many was it? Apparently, I thought I was done with my doubles, but I still had, like 40 doubles of my Batman collection. Mm. So I just got rid of those on eBay a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's never fun. Whenever like people are like, wow, you made all that money on eBay. And then it's like, dude, let me tell you about just doing a standard sale, wrapping it up, mailing it, getting the money. Hopefully it goes through. Like, it's never easy. Mm-hmm. It's such a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for you, it's like you already have a job. Like, how much free time do you want to devote to that?
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. But yeah, it's been really good, Nick. It's been really good.
Do you like the road that you're heading down?
Yeah, I really do. I feel very like at peace with a lot of things. You know what I mean?
That's good.
And I think that's important. I think a lot of times we just get a little too tied up on the everyday thing. And don't really focus on like things that might actually be important.
Yeah. Sometimes you do overlook like the whatever the one saying is, forest through the trees.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean sometimes you lose that little, you know, keep your eye on the prize type of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I told a couple of my single friends when they were getting married, I'm like, buddy, don't ever think that she couldn't leave. She couldn't just open up that door and walk out.
Mm.
Like, don't ever take that for granted. Don't ever think that she's like, oh, she's in it for her lifetime. Like, so I can treat her like poop. And it's like, yeah, it's the small things. It's like, it means a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's the same thing. Like it's the forest through the trees. Like if you want a better life, you have to do it yourself. You have to make that yourself. If you want a better relationship, you have to put in time and effort.
Sure.
To create that. It just doesn't just happen overnight.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes like you really need to, I'm going to use this phrase again. You need to be mindful of how you do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cause you know, like I was just saying, my wife has very different perspective on things than I do.
Right.
And of course, like sometimes it does lead to friction. But you know, you need to be aware of like how to handle those things mm-hmm. where you can make it work for both people. You know what I mean? Cause like when you're
throwing out like three boxes of stuff, to you, it's just garbage. But to somebody else, it might be like, I can't believe you threw away those 10 pictures that was in that box. Sure. Why would you even ask me about that?
Yeah. And so, like, you know, if it was like a roommate or like my parents or sibling, whatever, like, whatever, right? Right. But when you're like in a marriage, in a relationship, that's something that you need to be more aware of, I think. And like, it's totally fine to like have your hobbies or whatever that, you know, like, I mean, we're just talking about comic books and Mike, I'm not talking about you. Cause I was just thinking about this and I was like, shit, this is not directed to you, Mike. This is just a general thing.
Right.
But like, you know what? I'm going to use Mike as an example. If Barb's like, Mike, can you please get the comics out of the stove?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which of course would never happen. Nobody puts comics in their stove.
Right. And Barb's a saint, so.
She absolutely is. Barb is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
She is wonderful. Obviously, the right thing to do is get him out of the stove. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, like, if I didn't give a shit what my wife thought, then I'd be like, well, F you. Like, it's my stuff. I put it wherever I want.
Right.
But that's not how a relationship works.
Completely agree.
Right? You always need to be aware of how the other person is feeling and why they might act or react a certain way. And you need to learn to understand that. And let me tell you, I've learned a lot of things over the last few weeks. I still haven't nailed that down. Right?
Well, it's always a growing process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? When two people make a commitment to spend the rest of their lives together, it's going to be an ongoing process for the rest of your life.
And, yeah, you're not committed for 18 months.
Right. Well, and you know, a lot of people do this kind of thing, right? We'll be like, oh, well, fuck you. Like, I do whatever I want. We're getting a divorce.
Right.
Right? Like, I don't see it that way. Right? And maybe it's just the way that I was raised, the way that she was raised. But the way that we both see it is, it's fine to disagree. You just need to understand why you disagree and learn to move on to the next step. Right? Because if you can't do that, then yeah, that's where you're going to end up. You're going to end up separate.
Right. Right? Yeah.
So is it worth it for me to keep my junk or get rid of my junk and not have my partner be happy? Well, I don't think so, right? So if my wife's like, well, maybe you should keep this for whatever reason. I can't think of an example right now. But like, I'm sure there's something that would be like, I don't need that, right? And she'd be like, well, you know, you might need it in like 2 years on the line, whatever that might be. I have no idea.
Sure.
Right? Old tax returns. I don't know. That's a bad example. But for let's just say for some reason, right? I mean, I do have those, right? I scan them in and I have them saved in a folder. But let's just say, like, whatever. Tax return from 2015. Like, I don't fucking need that. What do I need that for, right? Like, I filed it online. I'm sure I can go back in there and reprint it.
Yeah.
But she might be like, well, what if whatever? What if the internet doesn't work anymore? We no longer have internet. How are you going to get your copy of your tax returns when the IRS needs it? I don't know why they would, but let's just say. I'm sure there's other better examples than that.
It'd be like, you buy a box of like screws or like toggle bolts to go into a wall because you want to hang a picture.
There you go.
Well, are you really going to, do you need those toggle bolts in the next 3 years? Probably not. So do you want to hold on to that for 3 years, or in 3 years, just go buy another box of toggle bolts for the wall?
And see, my thing would be, I'll just go buy a new fucking box.
Right. That's what I'm saying, right? Right.
Like, I haven't hung up any pictures in 3 years. What do I need these for? I'll just throw them in the trash. And if we decide we want to hang new ones, well, then I'll go buy some more.
But also, I don't want my wife to come to me and look at my comics or whatever and be like, can you get rid of that garbage? Like, just because it means nothing to her, she should at least understand, well, it means something to me.
Absolutely.
And I hate to say it, like, there's no way you can ask her to minimalize her life down to move into a tiny home. And then you're like, yeah, but I'm bringing over all my comic books and I'm bringing over all this other stuff. But thanks for lowering, you know, getting rid of some of your stuff. So now all my stuff can fit in there.
Well, and the thing is, like, none of that would be a deal breaker, right? Like, the fact that she wants to keep stuff and I don't is not a reason for me to be like, well, fuck this. Like, this is not working.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I'm just saying the resentment part would be a little crazy.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you should never do that, right?
Right.
You should try to understand it. Again, I still don't understand it. That's why I'm hoping somebody in the listening audience can maybe help enlighten me. Okay.
Right.
Because right. I've had many an enlightening experience over the last few weeks.
Nice.
That is not one of them.
Bah.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Sure. Maybe, you know what? Things would be a lot easier if more people maybe had that attitude. I don't know if you noticed, I really haven't been on Twitter. I haven't been on Discord or anything. Like, it's been great.
Yeah.
Like, dude. I think sometimes the, let me tell you one of the realizations that I had.
Minimalizing your social media life is not a bad thing. your quality of life will go extremely higher.
Well, no, absolutely. Absolutely. But at the same time, like, there are nice things about it, right? So, like, our Discord, for example, that's, like, just our friends.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, part of me feels bad that I haven't been on there because I really haven't talked to anybody in, like, a month.
Yeah.
But, like, part of me is cool with that because, like, I also haven't had to hear, like, oh, well, you know, like, this person says so-and-so, or, like, oh, like, why is this book late? I don't even know. Like, I'm sure Doomsday Clock is never coming out, right? I don't know.
But you also don't have to be part of – my point is you don't have to – once you get yourself out of that mindset of I have to be part of all of these social media conversations.
Yeah.
Your quality of your life, I'm sure, increases.
Yes. So one of the realizations that I had is – so as you know, I love technology. I have for decades.
Mm-hmm.
But also, even as much as I love it, I do become concerned about certain things. Okay. Some things more than, like, I'm not worried about AI. Like, we're not going to have, like, general AI anytime soon. Mm-hmm. You know, like, everyone's worried about, like, oh, we're going to get AI and, like, the robots are going to take over. It's going to be, like, Terminator. Like, none of that's going to happen. Okay. I feel like I'm well-versed enough in how technology works and what it would take to create, like, a general AI, for example, where I don't feel like that's something I need to worry about, okay?
Right.
But, like, there's other things that do concern me. So one of the things that I worked very hard on over the last few weeks is not using any Google services.
Yes.
Which I now use zero Google services.
Wow.
And to me, it's a very valid reason, okay? To people listening, it might not be. My wife doesn't think it's a big a deal, right? She uses Gmail. She loves to go on YouTube, whatever the hell else. To me, like, it's not that important to be tied to that, right? Because to me, it's important for me to control my own data, where my data goes, my data privacy. And for her, it's not the big a deal because it's very easy to use. And so to her, the trade-off of them having your name and reading your email is just fine for
sure.
for you to have a service that just works.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I totally get that.
Yeah.
I don't judge her or anybody else that decides to make the decision. But for me, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what happens if one day they decide that, you know, right now there's like a lot of talk with government putting a lot of regulations on these things, like Google and Facebook primarily.
Right.
Like, what happens then? Right? Like, that's a very fine line to walk down.
Like, mm-hmm.
I totally understand the security aspect. But at the same time, like, it's a thin line because once you start getting inching closer and closer to that line, historically, it has not gone very well for people.
Right.
And people have extremely short memory spans on things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I mean, you can take an example, but like, let's take a recent one. I mean, you can do this right now, right? Like, this shit is happening right now in like China and North Korea and Saudi Arabia and Iran and everything. And people just don't give a shit because it's not here.
Right. It doesn't affect them directly.
Right. But what happens when it is here? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do then? So to me, that's important. To her and to the people, it's not. So that's why I have all my data locally now. So I have a server in my living room. I bought a Raspberry Pi. It was $30. I already had a hard drive, but I ended up buying another one. So, I mean, I spent $80. And all my stuff is in the house. My calendars are saved here. All my files are here. My contacts, my passwords, all my stuff is in the house. And I just connect to it through an app on my phone to my house.
Except your IP address.
That
you're traveling abroad.
Well, not really. I was very careful to choose a service that, a DNS service, DNS is what turns an IP address into a name, like CBR.com. Okay, I don't know what the IP address to CBR.com is, but you can go to I'm gonna make one up, 67.54.168.313. Okay, mm-hmm. I just made that up. I don't know where that goes. Don't go there. It could be Pornhub. So DNS just makes that into CBR.com. I have a domain name. My domain name is daughterbox.com. Why is that? It's very simple. Because my PC is Motherbox. That's what I named it. And so when I wanted to have a satellite for a server, I was like, well, if my main PC is Motherbox, then the satellite will be Daughterbox.
Makes sense.
So I bought daughterbox.com. You can feel free to go there. It won't do anything. Unless you go to certain different websites, like something.daughterbox.com. All my stuff is there. And, I'm an IT nerd, right? So I can do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, you enjoy that stuff.
Right? I can do this kind of stuff. It's all very secure. If you want to set up your own, you can. You can go to gitlab.com/FerrettiM, and you'll see my projects there. You can go to the Nextcloud-Docker, and you can find it on there. Matter of fact, I'm about to update it because I just installed an ad black hole on my server, so I'm testing that now. And if I like the way it's set up, then I'm going to push that up so you can use it if you want, which is awesome, by the way.
You have been busy on your little walkabout.
I learned a lot about things that I've never used on a computer before. And you know I love computer stuff.
Yes, so that must have been a treat.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been doing a lot of Docker container stuff, and it's fantastic. You don't need to worry about what that means, but it's awesome. And so
I hope during your month-long walkabout, I hope you've realized, hey, I need to do this a little bit more. Spend time with the family, educate myself, kick it into low gear.
Oh, absolutely.
There's some benefits here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, to make a long story short, through all this thing, I realized that I've been looking at technology the wrong way the whole time.
Hmm.
Because I think the majority of people are kind of subject to whatever they're doing, right? I have to check Facebook. I have to go on Twitter. I have to check my email. I have to whatever. Get on Instagram. Whatever the fuck people do.
Yeah, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes. But moving all my data to a place where only I and my family can access it, mm-hmm. I realized we do it wrong. You need to make the technology work for you.
Makes sense.
And now that I feel like I'm at a pretty good place that I've done this, I'm not 100% there, I don't think. But I'm pretty damn close. And
nice.
I feel like that lifts another burden off of me. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Because I don't have to worry about other people working it for me. Again, I'm a tech nerd, so I can get this all set up for myself. The majority of people can't do that. But it's nice. It's nice.
Does it feel more secure, all your information and data?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, because you're the harbinger of it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's great. That's a load off your mind, too.
And, if somebody happens to break into my server, then, okay, my bad, right?
Right.
But I feel like I've set it up extremely securely, so I'm not really worried about that.
Great.
But, I feel something, I used to get on my computer every day, right? And I'd just spend hours on it doing whatever random shit. Watching YouTube videos or just randomly browsing the net or getting on Twitter, playing Hearthstone or anything else, any other game. And I feel like the way I've got my whole stuff set up right now, it's almost like, why am I even on this thing? What do I do? You know what I mean? I've automated stuff. I've read a lot of scripts. Again, most people can't do this kind of stuff. But a lot of times, I'll get on the computer and I'll be done in 10 minutes. Cause I'm what do I do now? Right? There's nothing for me to update. There's nothing for me to check. There's no, do I need to worry about how the server's set up? Whatever the fuck. Like, I don't have that's any great. Of this stuff. Sometimes I'll just, like, get on, and I'll check my Twitter real quick, and check the news, and I'll just go back into the house and do other stuff. and it's really nice. It's really nice, right? So what I'm saying is, don't become enslaved to your stuff. Make your stuff work for you, right? You don't work for your stuff. It's just stuff.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people fall into patterns and they don't know how to get themselves out.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's very hard, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, developing a new habit is actually not easy. But it's easier than you think, right? Because you can develop a habit within, like, 2 weeks.
Right.
And the thing is, like, certain habits are difficult to make or to develop because they're not, like, fun, right? Unless you have some, like, crazy experience, right? So, like, when I started meditating, like, literally one of the first few times that I meditated, I had, like, a crazy experience. And so I was like, oh, well, like, I want to do this again because that was fucking awesome.
Right.
And so it gives you that incentive, right? And that's why things like, you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram are so popular is because they give you that, right? And you've worked with a tech company before, so I'm sure you've heard about how they, like, game certain psychological aspects of yourself to get you hooked into this thing.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I was listening to a podcast today. I wish I remember. It was Joe Rogan. He had this guy on that used to be a CIA spook or whatever, some kind of spy.
Mm-hmm.
And very briefly, they started talking about this, and because they were talking about the opium epidemic, and and the thing is, like, when you get down to, like, the absolute basics of it, there's really no difference between, like, people hooked on meth and people hooked on Facebook or Instagram or whatever. You do a certain action, the system gives you positive feedback, you like the feedback, you do it again.
Right.
And you get more positive feedback, so you do it again. And you get more positive feedback, so you keep doing it.
Yeah, it's a similar loop.
Yeah, absolutely. So social media, I mean, obviously you're not taking drugs and whatever, getting high, whatever the fuck. I've never done meth. I would never do meth. Shrooms, on the other hand, we'll get to that later. but, like, you know, you get on Twitter, you're like, oh, such and such followed me. Right, like, think about how many times, right? Like, I know we've seen this in our group. Oh my God, like, Scott Snyder just followed me. We're best of friends. You right. know what I mean? Like, well, no. Like, that's not how things work. Right. But, like, this happens to a lot of people, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Such and such followed me.
It's happened to me quite a few times.
Or, you know, like, when I had Reagan on the podcast, whatever, a couple months ago, she asked me a couple days, she's like, how many people listen? Then I told her, and she's like, that many people? And I was like, yeah. Like, to me, it's not like a shit ton of people, right? But, like, I would say to a lot of podcasts, like, we have a lot of listeners, right? This podcast and most of the other ones. You know, a lot of podcasts will do episodes and they'll have, you know, whatever, like 20, 30, 40, 50 listeners. And we're fortunate enough to have, you know, thousands of some podcasts.
Did you tell her that she has to start a Twitter account so I can follow her?
She does have a Twitter account.
She doesn't use it.
She doesn't use it.
Dang it.
My wife does too. She doesn't use it. So I told her, she's like, oh my God, really that many? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, are they all like that? And I'm like, yeah. She's like, how many people follow you on Twitter? And I'll tell them, be like, oh my God, that many? I'm like, it's not that many. I don't know how many have, like, 1,300 followers on Twitter. I don't fucking know. Yeah. Like, that doesn't seem like a lot, right? But I guess to her, it's a lot. Like, you know, those kind of things. They're like, oh, you know, this tweet got 20 likes. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yep.
And so, you know, that's when you get that feedback loop when, you know.
Yeah, it tweaks the chemistry in your brain.
Yeah. It's a dopamine hit.
Yep.
So, like, quite literally, chemically, it's the same fucking thing. And it's just nice not to have that kind of stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it clears you out.
Yeah, it clears you out. But, God, I can't remember what the point was. There was a point of the story. Welcome to Nerd Legion with Nick Webmore. But yeah, make your tech work for you. And again, I understand that, like, it's hard for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm sure. Especially the first steps.
Yes, especially the first steps. But like, if I tell my wife, like, get rid of Google, like, what the fuck would she do? She'd probably go get like a Yahoo account. You know what I mean? Like, that's not any better.
Right.
Like, how do you do that? It's not easy.
She's like, I just signed up for, AOL again.
Yeah.
I didn't know they were even around. And you're like, no.
Yep. It's not easy, but of course that's on purpose, right?
Right.
Because companies want your data, so they make it as simple as possible for you to sign up for all their services and give them all your data.
And the benefit is
you get the free shit. Go ahead.
Did you hear about the Bethesda hullabaloo that happened the last couple weeks?
Nope.
They just came out with a new Wolfenstein game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the third or fourth one of the new relaunch, but it's half the prices of a regular game, because it's almost like, I guess I would call it DLC.
Huh.
But anywho, you can play it online, co-op with someone, but as soon as you want to do that, they ask you to create a Bethesda account.
Oh no.
Yeah, with, you know, just your standard email address and like one other little bit of like information.
Sure.
And then I think Bethesda also is coming out with another game. And from what I've heard on Giant Bomb, they also said that asks for a Bethesda account too.
Oh, Lord.
So it sounds like moving forward, every Bethesda game will be asking for you to sign in. Of course, you're going to get in-game bonuses for all of this, but it's like you are giving them your information.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Nope.
I think a lot of times people just, like, it's hard to get people to understand, like, why some of these things are important, right? And, like, I talk about this with you often, sometimes on the podcast, sometimes not. Mm-hmm. Of course it comes up at home with my wife and kids.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't fucking understand.
Nor, I'm sure, do they even want to hear it sometimes.
Yeah, well, no, nor do they care. I mean, like, when they set up the server, I was like, let me get your phone. And be like, why? Well, I set up the server. So, you know, all the calendars and your files, everything's going to be there. Your pictures are backed up there. Well, like, Google backs up my pictures. Well, yeah, like, what if fucking Google goes down? Guess what? Now you don't have your pictures. This way, they're in the house. So if you can't get them on your phone, you can get on the computer and you can go on the website and do it that way. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're like, oh, okay. That way they understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or like,
you know how Google or whoever has a cloud service? This is just daddy doing a cloud service. Think of it that way.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, now I understand what you're talking about.
That they can understand. But what most people can't understand is like, well, why is that important? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what does it matter that Google reads my email or that they know whatever the fuck, my real name?
Right.
Like, for example.
They can identify my face from the umpteen photos that I saved to the cloud.
Perfect. So we went to Red Robin.
For some unlimited fries, bitch.
Yes, I got sweet potato fries.
Of course you did.
They're delicious.
And how many helpings of those did you get?
Two.
Yeah, that's my guy.
So we went there, and we were talking, and Reagan was showing me her FaceApp pictures. And my wife had her FaceApp pictures.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you should download FaceApp. I'm like, I'm not downloading FaceApp.
So Russia can have your credentials in about 4 to 6 years?
That's exactly what I said. And you know what the response was? Well, who cares if they have your stuff?
Who doesn't have my stuff at this point, Dad?
Well, nobody's got my stuff.
As you're like, that's the problem.
Yeah. Because, like, I even checked you know how they had that Equifax leak or whatever? The hack?
Yeah.
I even checked out, like, I'm not even in the hack. Mm. Like, I try to sign up to get my $125. They're like, nope, you're not on the list of people that were hacked. I was like, great.
Good to know. Thank you.
Good to know. But, like, I'm very weird about passwords. I check my passwords every few months and I change them. But there's mm-hmm. you can go to haveibeenpawned.com and you can type in your email address and it'll tell you if your email address is in any of these hack lists, whether they have your email or your email and your password, like what information they have about you. You can do this. It's freely available. Nobody gives a shit, right? I give a shit. Most people don't give a shit. So it's tough. Like, how do I reply to that? I don't care if the Russians have my information. It's just my picture.
But it comes down to the same thing about do you want government transparency? Or is it just a lot easier not to know? You know what I'm saying? Like, whenever people are like, well, we should know about if somebody was planning on bombing such and such. Mm-hmm. And it's like, do you really want to know that? Because if you think there was only a couple plots to do XYZ in the US or in Canada, if you only think it's a couple because that's what you've heard, how many more have been done? You know, it's like some people just want to bury their head in the sand.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes back to a point we made earlier. Well, like, it's not happening here now, but what about when it does start happening here?
Yeah, when it directly affects right? you.
Like, there's certain things that I don't think would happen here. But, like, for example, the social credit system in China, like, that's pretty close to coming here. I would say within the next, like, 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. we're going to start having that kind of stuff here.
And, yeah, we're gonna see some stuff.
Yeah, and that's really scary shit. Like, if you start reading about it, it is scary shit. And I don't want to be involved in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm okay spending the extra time to keep my stuff away from places that could exploit that kind of information. Mm. And like, nobody reads terms of services.
No.
But like a lot of terms of services are really scary, right? And like, that's one thing that came up with the Face app thing. Is like basically they own your image forever, and they can use it however they want.
Yeah, sounds very convenient for the user. I mean the company.
Well, and you know, so like, what does that mean, right? Because I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago, like Facebook was using people's pictures on their ads.
Oh yeah.
Right? So it'd be like, hey Martin, Nick is eating it's a mushroom chips. You should buy some, and here's a picture of Nick eating his mushroom chips.
Right. Or eating a potato chip, but you don't know.
Sure, but you don't know. Chip. Right, yeah. Exactly. You don't know. It's just like Nick smiling.
Right.
You go buy some mushroom chips.
Mm-hmm.
Well guess what? Like, did you explicitly give Facebook the right to use your picture in that? No, but guess what? You did, because you didn't read the terms of service.
Yep.
You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So to me,
and I think it's only going to get worse.
Oh, of course. And mm-hmm. to me, that stuff is not cool. But most people don't care, because most people would rather just have like the cool free shit that makes their picture turn into a grandpa, because it's right. funny. And then, like, who cares what happens in 6 months?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that I'm the opposite. And again, if you're one of those people that don't care, then all right, good for you. But I do. I think it's important. I think a lot of people aren't mindful of that kind of thing.
Yeah, or they're not concerned with it.
Yeah,
burying their head. But yep. that's okay. Live your best life.
But you know, through my journey at Nanda Parbat. I have become very mindful of a lot of things that I do, and a lot of things that I say. And I think sometimes, you know, we're always so busy, right?
Yeah.
But like, mm-hmm. think about, like, are you really busy? Like, I guarantee you, when you start to think about the things that you do that make you think you're so busy, you can probably not do those things.
Right.
Because a lot of times we're just busy for busy's sake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I've realized. So being mindful of everything that you do, I think is important. And I think in some respects, maybe I've gone a little too much. Like, I'm very mindful of like the way that I walk, or like how I look at people. I mean, like, sometimes you may be like, somebody does something stupid and you give them this like weird ass look, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like, why? Or like, you're driving on the street and somebody passes you and like, ah, this mother effer. Right. This happened actually. This happened Sunday because we drove out to my in-law's house to do a little party for Zoe, and I'm cruising, right? Like the speed limit is 45. I'm doing like 60, so it's not like I'm not doing the speed limit. Uh-huh. I'm doing 60 to 45, and this bike passes us. And almost got hit like head on by a car because I don't fucking know. They weren't paying attention, I guess. But like they were trying to get ahead and like they didn't go anywhere because there was another car in front of me.
Right.
And then like a red light came up and literally like they were within 50 feet of us for, you know, 40 miles.
Mm-hmm.
But like they passed us and my wife's like, this asshole, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, whatever. You know what I mean? Like what difference does it make if he passed me?
Yeah, they're rushing to slow down. That's about it.
Yeah. So those kind of things. Just be mindful of more things. I don't know if you can be like mindful of everything. Cause I think you can get to a point where you're maybe being too mindful.
Oh, I thought you were going to say like not taking anything into account and pretty much becoming a sloth. A sloth in life, in your own life.
You could run into that danger, yes, I think.
Yeah.
Just being more aware, okay? Mm-hmm, for anybody that doesn't know what mindfulness is, just be more aware of how and why you do things. I think it'd be really eye-opening for a lot of people. I know it's been really eye-opening for me. Like, I do, like, there's, like, certain tics that I have that I had no idea that I had. There's certain things that I say that I didn't know I said them a certain way. I talked about the looks. Certain reactions to things that when I think about them, like, do I really want to react that way about certain things? And some things, like, I realize that, yeah, I do want to react about those things that way.
Right.
Okay. Like, if somebody's saying some bullshit, like, hey, guess what? You're talking out your ass, bro. Right. So I'm going to call you out on it.
Sometimes you want to bite your tongue. Sometimes you don't want to overreact to everything. And I think a lot of people do both. They go from one extreme to the other.
But you know, if you take 2 seconds to think about what you're about to say or do before you do it, then you might react a certain way. You might decide that that's the correct way to react, but you might also react a different way.
You know what I think you discovered on your journey?
Hmm.
I think you discovered the word pause.
Hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's shifting yourself into low gear, thinking about what you want to say before saying. Like, just take a pause.
Right.
Take a breath.
But it's hard to get there, you know what I mean?
Oh, God, yeah. Please. I mean, there's monks that have been trying to do that their entire life. Sure. So. Yeah, you're not going to do it in 28 days while working, while doing all this other stuff.
Yeah, and I think you need to be aware of like how you can get to that point, right? Because I don't think I could have gotten to that point if one of the first things I realized was, well, hey, like a lot of this busy work is just busy work. It's not like something worth me being busy about.
Mm.
You see what I mean? And I think by having that realization at the beginning has helped me work through some of the other things. Because I think if it was the opposite, I don't think I could have gotten to that point, right? Like, I wouldn't be able to decide to pause.
Yeah, you'd be missing, like, the self-assessment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Which, hey, at least you're still on that road. Think of it that way. Like, no one should be off that road. It just depends, like, you're further down the road than, you know, John Smith.
I know
which is
John
good.
Smith.
But that's what you need. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I know a John Smith. He plays for I wish I remember the name of the damn team. It's like the Harlem Globetrotters, but it's not the Harlem Globetrotters.
The Washington Generals?
No. God.
Isn't that the team that always plays?
Yes. Have you ever seen the Harlem Globetrotters?
Hell yeah, son.
God, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah. My mom was big into going to events like that.
Nice. Yeah.
She's just like, you know what I want to do? Demolition Derby. And then she'd go way before the internet, go out and like, oh, here's a Demolition Derby, or here's a rodeo, or here's Harlem Globetrotters. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I can't remember, but I grew up with John Smith. He was cousins to one of my best friends growing up, Andrew. He was always super goofy. And somehow he ended up getting a scholarship for basketball to college. And then playing college ball, he got discovered by this team, whatever the fuck it's called. I wish I remembered. And he's been playing with them for, God, like 15 years now.
Oh, wow.
He travels like all around the world.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, crazy life.
Mindfulness. It's fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. I like it.
Here's the thing. I think when you decide that you need to like get on one of these journeys, like there's certain things that you maybe should and should not do. Mm. And I think the first part of this whole thing is like realizing like this is something you need to do. You know what I mean? Because you know me. And matter of fact, Jay replied to a tweet a couple days ago, and this is part of the whole mindfulness thing. He said, I can't remember what exactly he said, but he said something, which would have been like a typical reaction that I would have.
Mm. And positive or negative.
I can't remember what exactly it was.
But it doesn't matter. It's like us. My point is Jay said something that didn't set you off, but like it was one of those buttons that like, ooh, I got to respond to that. Or, ooh, I like that. Or, ooh, I got to, you know, correct that.
Well, yes. Well, kind of. So I think I maybe replied to something you had tweeted about, and then Jay replied about like how I would react.
Mm.
And it was very interesting, right? Because like, granted, 4 weeks for like, God, I don't want to say self-improvement because that is like a shitty word.
Well, that's why I keep saying it.
I know, but like when you think self-improvement, you think like, maybe not. Maybe this is just me. But when I hear the word self-improvement, I conjure up a lot of bullshit in my head. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hippy-dippy stuff.
Yeah, hippy-dippy stuff, like whatever, like going to a conference and doing some like, I meditate, so I don't know if that works. But like weird meditation shit and like, hey, let's all like swim in a bed of flowers and like whatever, like stupid shit.
Yeah.
If you're into that stuff, then maybe you don't think it's stupid. I think a lot of those kind of people take advantage of people that are genuinely in need. And the thing is, like, when you're genuinely in need, and I feel like I was genuinely in need, sometimes you don't think about, like, what you're getting into, right?
Right.
You're like, oh, well, like, this person might have an answer for me. So, like, let me do whatever the fuck they say.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, a lot of people don't do their homework, right? I mean, you very well know, people like to do things the easy way.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, like, and I'm going to get into a little psychedelic stuff here in a few minutes. But, like, one thing that I've heard many, many times is, for example, you know, you can meditate for decades and decades and have very enlightening experiences. And by that I mean like realizing things about yourself and about the world and things that you want to change and how to change them. Or you can do like a really good psychedelic session, you know, spend 10 minutes, 20 minutes and, you know, half an hour on a psychedelic and you get the same result as, you know, 20 years of meditation. And that might be the case. But like, you need to also weigh in, like, well, is it worth me going, like, what's the added benefit of me spending hundreds of hours meditating for 20 years as opposed to me spending 30 minutes hallucinating about something? Okay. like there genuinely is, I think, something to putting in the work.
Sure.
And you know, like, is there a better word than self-improvement? Because I fucking hate that word. All right, let's just keep using it.
Road to discovery. I don't know.
Sure. There's infinite ways to improve yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Or finding ways to improve yourself. Some obviously will take longer than others, but, you know, what was it that my dad used to say? God, my dad had like a couple sayings that I really liked. One was, the lazy person who works twice as hard.
That makes sense.
That always stuck with me a lot because, like, if you do it something half-assed, that means you don't do it as well. Yeah. And so it will take you longer to finish it or get the same results.
I would say the same thing about a disorganized person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do it right the first time, then you do it and it's done, mm-hmm. and you don't need to repeat it. Yeah. Anyways, people are always looking for shortcuts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, what's the best way for me to do this to get the most advantage out of it?
Right.
And that's just the way that we're all raised. I think the way most people are brought up.
Well, that's just like rich people wanting to, like, oh, let's bring over the Dalai Lama and I'll, you know, glean off of this person, like, my entryway into the afterlife or whatever they're planning on doing. But it's like, well, you pretty much just paid for a personal appearance. Like,
yeah.
you're not, like, increasing your steps towards nirvana or heaven or whatever, the afterlife. You want a shortcut.
So this was like a big thing. If you're Catholic, this is not against you. This is just like a historical thing. This is a big thing with like Catholicism, right? Mm-hmm. Where like, yeah, you can be a good Catholic and do your prayers and read the Bible and blah, blah, blah for the rest of your life. Or you can just do whatever the fuck you want. And you can kill people and you can rape women and, you know, take advantage of poor people and whatever, steal. You know, you give your tithe, your 10% offering, and you give the bishop, you know, a few gold coins, and they pray for you, and all your sins are forgiven.
Well, don't forget you have to go to confession.
Well, sure, fine. Oh, yes, that's a lot of work, going to confession. Okay.
Hey, you have to say, you know, an extra 10 Hail Marys, and everything is wiped. The slate is wiped clean.
I will say, I really like the confession thing.
Yeah, so did I.
I think the problem that I have is that it tends to become a how do I want to say this? Not a pity party. What's the word that I'm thinking of, Nick? You're good at reading my mind.
I don't know where you're going.
We're like, did they make you feel bad about what you did? What's that called?
Oh, repent.
Yeah. I don't like the repentance thing.
Yeah.
But I like the confession thing.
The repentance is to keep you on the straight and narrow. So you don't do your dirty deeds over and over and over again.
Sure. Fair enough. But I do like the admitting your sins thing. I think that is important.
Yeah, we should all admit our weaknesses and at least view them, you know?
Yep, absolutely. So, that kind of thing. Like, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Hey, I'll just go to confession and do 10 Hail Marys and, you know, I get into heaven. Yep. So why bother being a good Christian and doing this, that, and the other? And I don't want to single out Christians. Like, this is true of anything. Like, I'll just go and I'll be a suicide bomber. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to worry about reading the Quran or going and praying five times a day and doing whatever. I'll just go and be a suicide bomber and then, you know, I die and go to heaven and get my 72 virgins. Like, who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm. But back to your discovery point.
Yeah.
A lot of people, if there were only 10 steps to finding this level of discovery, I would say a majority of people, if they could take shortcuts, they would. So I'll do step 1 and 2 and then I'll do 9 and 10 and I'm right there. You know, it's like, no,
you're like,
go through the steps.
I've got enough knowledge where I'll skip 3, 4, and 5. I'll just go to step 6. I'm
good. Yeah. I did it. I'm good.
Yeah.
No worries.
I totally get it. I understand how to sit still for, you know, 30 minutes.
Right.
That means I'm enlightened now, right?
Or all of a sudden the hour is up. The meditation hours up and all of a sudden that person wakes up. Like, you weren't meditating. You fell asleep. No thought going on in that head.
Absolutely. So yeah, people, I mean, it's just the way people work, right? And I think part of becoming a better person, at least to me, this could be different for other people, but to me, part of becoming a better person is learning how not to be a person. And by that I mean learning your faults and learning how to overcome those things and learning how to understand why it is you do those things and how to do them differently. Because a lot of times, a lot of things that we do is because ultimately everybody is selfish, right?
Yeah.
You do things to, we'll just say better yourself, but I mean, I'll include like a spouse or girlfriend, boyfriend, children, whatever, family,
yeah. Better group, your
religious
environment.
Group, whatever.
Okay? Yeah. Your immediate environment.
Yeah. Oftentimes we do those things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't want to get into this at all because I think this will be way too long a discussion. But I think a lot of times the morality that guides a lot of the actions that we choose to take is 100% flawed. And so the only way to really make a true and honest decision in the things that you're making is to find a way to bypass the training that you've had your entire life. And that's very difficult.
Yeah, the indoctrination.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you feel like you don't know any other route in life that it freezes you because you don't know any different. Like when I was listening to the Lindsay Lohan Stern interview, he was asking her, well, wasn't it crazy to be doing auditions when you're 5 and 6 years old or 8 years old, isn't that? And she just was sort of bewildered. And I looked at my wife and I was like, but that's all she knew. How would she know that's weird? You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how do you break yourself out of that habit?
That's actually a perfect example. Because it reminds me. So as you know, I've been doing some, I have read 0 comics, by the way.
Wow.
This entire month I have read no comics. I have read no science fiction.
Books, Audible?
I have done Audible. Everything that I have read has been nonfiction.
Ooh, nice.
Because as I wanted to go through this journey, I wanted to do things that I don't normally do. Because if I'm trying to figure things out for myself, I felt like one of the most important things for me to do was to do things that I don't normally do.
Yeah. Retrain something.
Exactly. So no comics, no sci-fi, nothing. But it does remind me, I'm sure you're very aware. I think everybody maybe goes to this in school. I don't, maybe not. But you've heard of like the allegory of the cave, right?
I don't know. Go on.
All right. So the allegory of the cave, is very simple. So there's a group of prisoners in a cave. This is like an ancient Greek thing. I can't remember. I think it's Socrates. There's a group of prisoners in a cave and they are, you know, like tied down to a chair and they're only allowed to look forward. And behind them there's a fire going and there's puppeteers like doing a puppet show, in front of the fire. Mm-hmm. And these people are sitting down in a chair, cannot move, can only look straight ahead. So all they see are the shadow puppets on the wall of the cave.
Right.
Until one day, one of the guys manages to escape and manages to turn around and see the fire and the puppets being played with and realizes, mm-hmm. Oh, the world that I've known is not these shadows on the wall. That's just an interpretation of the reality that's behind me.
Mm.
And you mentioned the Lindsay Lohan thing. It reminds me of that exact same thing, right? Because mm-hmm. you're right. How would she know any different?
Right.
Right? If she's auditioning for things when she's 5 years old, like that's all she's known.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Her mom would have known better. And from my understanding, her mom's a piece of crap, but I don't know. Because I don't know the details. But that's just what I heard. And, like, I'm sure her mom knew better,
mm-hmm.
right? But her mom didn't care because she saw her daughter's pretty. She's kind of talented. Let's put her in the stuff and make a bunch of money.
Right.
And, I mean, that's what happened, right? Like,
she had her own motivations.
Yeah. They made a bunch of money. And now what? Like, I don't think Lindsay and her mom talk anymore because her mom's a piece of shit. Not. Right? Yeah. So was it worth to have a bunch of money for that? I mean, maybe to her mom it is. I don't. I hope not. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would rather continue to talk to my daughter than to have a bunch of money. But maybe Lindsay's mom is different. Right? But Lindsay wouldn't know any better.
Right.
Until later on. But what happens later on? It's kind of too late, right? Because by then you're like, you're trained a certain way and you don't have a way to think of things any differently. And so the reaction that you have, may not be the most, mindful reaction, but it will definitely be the most organic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Because she's going to react based on the way that she was raised. And with her not knowing any better, well, that explains a lot of things. It explains why her mom's a piece of shit, why they don't talk, why she's separate from her dad, and why Lindsay was on drugs for forever, and why she disappeared, why she's living in Dubai now. It explains a lot of things.
Yeah, you see a lot of the motivations and a lot of the factors.
Mm-hmm. That's why I always try to be very careful with my kids, right? Like, you know, I'm very, like, my wife and I are very open with our kids.
Yeah.
There's rules, but I mean, ultimately it's up to them.
Right.
Right. Because
they're little humans.
I mean, when they're, guess what? In 15, 20 years, like, mom and dad aren't going to be around to help you out. Right.
Right. Right.
I mean, like, if you get in trouble, then maybe, like, I'll try to get you out of jail, I guess.
But better to get a reality check and, you know, there are consequences out there and mom and dad can't always be there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we had this talk about when, like, Zoe and I were playing soccer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some parents let their kids win and that's fine. And sometimes I let her win or Reagan win. But like, if you let them win all the time, they're not going to learn. You want a trophy for losing? Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Participation trophy.
When you get in the real world, no one gives a shit.
No.
So, yeah, poor Lindsay. That's why you should always, you know, my wife got really mad. So, you know, our neighbors are pieces of shit.
Yeah.
But, matter of fact, this week is great. I think they're on vacation. So the dogs are just like out all day long. Nice. And it's fantastic. But, you know, my wife and I were talking about something and she brought up the neighbors. And she's like, I don't understand why they have to be that way. And, you know, my initial reaction is, well, what other way would they be? Because if that's all they know, then that's how they're going to be.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know better because you were raised a certain way.
Yeah.
But if they were raised the way that they are now, that's the way that they're going to be. So you shouldn't judge them or hate them, dislike them or whatever. You should just accept the fact that that's the way they are.
Yeah.
And that's very hard, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard.
For sure.
It's very hard as a person not to be judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, you always want to judge everybody else based upon whatever your ideas are, right? Your ideology, your moral beliefs, your religious beliefs. And so it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, that person's an asshole.
Like, right.
He said blah, blah, blah about me. Or, you know, to talk about comics, like, oh, fucking, who do I want to bring up? Not Snyder. What's the other one? What's the Spider-Man guy?
Dan Slott.
Dan Slott. Ah, fuck Dan Slott. He's such an asshole. He ruined Spider-Man because I didn't want this whole rich Spider-Man thing with the you know, whatever, Spidey Enterprises thing,
right.
You know, being like Tony Stark. Well, that's fine, but like, do you understand why he did it? Can you appreciate how he took the story from A to B? Can you remove yourself from the situation? Can you remove Dan Slott from the situation and just look at the book and appreciate the book for what the book is? Most people can't do any of those things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the only perspective you have is your perspective. Right. So how are you going to judge it on anything else but what you've been raised to know and believe?
Yeah.
That's very hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have no care to educate yourself otherwise, that's the way that you're going to think about it.
Yeah.
Ah, people. People suck. People suck. It's sad, though. You know what I mean? Like, again, I was only in Nanda Parbat for 4 weeks.
Yes.
So I am in no way do I feel like I'm perfectly fixed. In no way do I feel like I have any answers. I'm not enlightened in any way whatsoever. But
you're also not on, as the Talking Heads song once said, a road to nowhere.
Absolutely.
Yes.
But I don't know, man. It just feels like people just get like so constrained in their own like personal bubble that like nothing outside the bubble is of any importance.
Yeah.
Right?
They're prison of beliefs.
And that's rough. Like for the longest time, again, if you're a religious person, by all means, I do believe in God. Definitely not the way you think, probably. But I do. I had some fantastic experiences that, to me, I cannot deny any of that stuff.
Yeah, teach their own.
But, you know, for the longest time, I definitely have had a thing against, like, organized religion. Mm-hmm. And I do think that the best way for me to understand that kind of stuff is to find them inside of me. That may not be true of anybody else, but that's true for me. And I feel like that's true of the essence of those things. But I feel like a lot of times the essence of religious beliefs, gets twisted around a little bit by the need to continue those beliefs or that belief system. You know how like in law you have corporations, right? Companies can be corporations. Corporations, by law are people. I feel like, ultimately like belief systems are kind of the same kind of thing. Maybe obviously not legally. I think in many respects they share certain things. And it's interesting. Anyways, I don't want to talk about that because I don't want to impose my own thing on anybody else. But I do recommend mindfulness. Let's talk about these interesting experiences next.
Yes.
So I don't recommend anything that I'm about to say to anybody. I think, whatever journey you decide to do on your own is, your own journey. You should figure out the best way to, plot out your journey.
The steps you take on your road is completely different than anyone else's, but these are your steps that you're going to go through.
There are an infinite number of roads and your road will be different than mine.
Yeah.
On my personal road, I chose to concentrate on mindful thinking, on meditation, on very extreme breathwork meditation, and psychedelics. And let me just say, Nick, I want to start with the last.
Sure.
Because
it's your show.
The only reason I want to start with the last is because I know, Nick, you're a good boy.
Oh, God, yeah.
You are a very good boy. And I'm very proud of you, and I know that your mom is as well. I would also never recommend this to my children, because psychedelics are not easy to cope with.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last few weeks, I've done several psychedelic sessions.
Mm.
I've had many a fantastic experience.
Uh-huh.
It is not recommended for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was one session, at least one, probably two or three, actually, now that I think about it, and this is why I'm not recommending this road to anybody, is I was scared shitless of the experience. The first time it happened, I swear I was dying.
Sheesh.
And that's not easy to do, in particular if you haven't done enough research and haven't been, how do I want to say this? I don't know, figuring out exactly what you want out of the situation.
This doesn't sound like what I used to read Ken Kesey and Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test. This doesn't sound like his writing.
I don't think I've read that, so I couldn't tell you.
Oh, okay.
But I will say this. I think, we were talking earlier about finding the easy way out. I do think there's a very valid reason to do psychedelic work if you want to go on a journey to Nanda Parbat. I genuinely do. However, I will also say you need to educate yourself and prepare yourself if that's the journey that you want to partake in.
Mm.
You don't need to do it, by the way. I think it will definitely help.
Just let me ask one quick question. Did you, at any point during any of this time, did you astral project?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't even know how you would do that.
I don't know. I saw a show on Netflix that was about a CIA agent that would astral project himself into trying to, during the Cold War, trying to...
Oh, that's based on a true story.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. What was that guy's name? What was that guy's name? Yeah, I saw a documentary about him. That dude is fascinating. Yeah,
it's very famous.
How true is it? I have no idea.
I don't know, but it's pretty cool.
But yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, dude, they did some crazy shit. Yeah. Matter of fact, what's that movie?
The CIA was pretty dope in the 60s.
Oh God, what's that movie? The something Goats with George Clooney.
Oh God, yeah.
That's partially based on him.
Yep.
Yeah. There may be goats. No, what's that movie called? Damn it, I wish I remembered. Anyways,
I'm looking it up. But go on.
Something with goats and George Clooney. Episode title. Hang on. I got to write that. Let me put that in the show notes.
The Men Who Stared at Goats.
The Men Who Stared at Goats. Yeah. I think the George Clooney version is much more fictionalized.
Yeah, it's more of a comedy.
But yeah, that's partially based on that guy. Yeah, that dude's fascinating. You need to find interviews with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did a TED Talk, actually. Yeah, that dude's fascinating. He was, oh God, what was he? He was a historian, I think, right? Before? No. He was a physicist. That's how the CIA got interested in his work.
Because John Ronson.
Yeah, he was working with the quantum mechanics guys. And somehow through quantum mechanics and no doubt LSD, he came up with this, it's not astral projection. What do they call it? Oh God. Damn. I wish I remembered. But anyways, they could see remote viewing. That's what it is.
There you go.
They could see places where they were not at. And a matter of fact, I think in the Men Who Stare at Goats, they go into the LSD stuff.
Sure. Yeah.
Cause they had him on a lot of acid.
So don't forget the U.S. also paid, people that used to house and try to learn from dolphins, thinking that they could learn the language of dolphins.
Yeah.
That also was them dropping acid and going into tanks with them trying to understand the hidden language of dolphins. And it even got to the point where they gave a dolphin acid trying to.
Yep.
Yeah. So acid has been used with our government quite a few times.
Yep. So I will say, I did do acid. It was a very long time ago.
Mm.
I was in high school. Not the best experience. So not a repeat for me.
Gotcha.
right, fast forward. I did do. I went to a tank. First time, sensory deprivation tank.
Oh, neat. I know we've talked about that.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this before, wanting to do that. How was that experience?
I've been wanting to do this for at least 10 years.
Was it like Videodrome? Did somebody come out of a television? Did you get into S&M? What happened?
No, no. And I only did 1 hour. I think I wish I would have done more.
Ooh.
I feel like it's one of those things where, like, if I was in there for, like, 2, maybe 3 or 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
like, it would be some crazy shit.
Were you laying on top of the water?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're kind of, you're, like, above water, but not quite above water.
Yeah, because the saline in the water is
so
concentrated that you can pretty much float above it.
Yes. So let me describe it. So it's basically it's a pod, right? So like an oval shaped chamber.
Mm-hmm.
Inside it is water, and it's got like hundreds of pounds of salt.
Mm-hmm.
For not a lot of water. So because it's so salty, when you get in the water, you're floating.
Mm-hmm.
The water is set to body temperature.
Ooh.
So because of that, you feel like you're floating in air.
And did it feel like that?
Yes.
Wow. How long did it take you before you completely forgot about, I'm just laying on water?
Once you close the pod, within like 2 or 3 minutes.
Wow, that's great. Okay.
Yeah. So water, body temperature, full of salt. You get in it. You're just like floating above it. Not like completely above it. You're almost submerged, but like part of you is above it.
Yeah.
Cause you're buoyant. If you were like completely above, I don't think it would work as well, because then I think your body temperature up top would be lower because of the air, temperature.
Yeah. Circulating. So
that's why you're mostly submerged.
Sure.
And because the water is the temperature of your body, you feel like you're nowhere.
Yeah, you're floating on air.
So you close the pod, you mm-hmm. chill out, you relax pretty quickly within like a minute.
Nice.
The thing is closed, so it's completely dark. You can't hear anything. So there is mm-hmm. zero noise. There is zero visual stimulation.
Panicked. Is there a panic button of some sort?
There's no panic button. If you panic, you just open it up.
Oh, okay. So it's not like you're locked in it.
No, you're not locked in it. You're not locked in it.
Gotcha.
You are in the room by yourself.
Ah, okay.
But you're not locked in there. You can leave at any time.
And did you enter the pod just like the first day that you entered this earth?
I don't know. I wish I remembered.
No, naked.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like with shorts on.
Well, then you're not naked.
Well, no, but I had little shorts on.
Oh, brother.
I mean, I'm sure you could go in there naked. I didn't check the rules. I'm sure you could. Anyways, so you're in there. Like, literally within a couple minutes, you're nowhere.
Wow.
It's incredible.
I bet.
I've actually experimented a little bit with this. Before I went to the tank, I've been doing some, like visual stimulation experiments. Mm-hmm. There's like an effect. I wish I remember what it was called. But you can actually do this without being in a tank. I think the tank is better because you're literally floating nowhere,
mm-hmm.
Because of the salt water. But you can actually do this without it. If you can take ping pong balls. You take a ping pong ball, you cut it in half, and you put one over each eye, and then you can put earplugs in your ears, and just like sit in absolute silence with the ping pong balls over your ears. You'll start seeing some crazy shit.
Huh.
Because you have, it's, what's that called? The snowblind effect? You know people that like get lost in blizzards?
Mm-hmm.
They like kind of go crazy?
Yeah.
It's a similar effect to that. because your brain doesn't know how to process the stimulation that your body's actually receiving. Because you can't hear anything and all you see is white. And so your brain actually starts, hallucinating an entire world in front of your eyes.
Yeah, trying to see something.
Yeah, because your brain is used to seeing things.
Right.
And when it doesn't see or hear things, it generates that for you. It's it's fascinating. I recommend everybody do this, actually. You can do it within like 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes of doing this. You'll start seeing crazy shit.
So was the tank better because it was completely sealed as well as completely dark?
I think the tank is better for the simple fact that you are floating nowhere.
Mm.
I think the experience of not hearing things or not seeing things is still very much acceptable. But the fact that that no part of you is touching anything is very alien.
It sounds like you've read Grant Morrison's Invisibles and are acting upon it.
So I have read Grant Morrison's Invisibles.
Yes, I know.
But that has nothing to do with the story.
But there is a little bit of like submersion, projection. Like, yeah, there's some interesting stuff there.
Yeah, Grant's got a – there's a really interesting talk. I think it's from the one and only Morrison Con.
Yes.
I think I just made that up. But I'm pretty sure this was a Grant Morrison convention. And he was
invited to speak. No, you didn't make it up. I told you about it.
Oh, this is true, right? The one where he talks about the what the fuck do they call it? It's the magic thing where he makes the sigils.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
So for anybody that hasn't figured this out, look it up. Look up, I think if you do just like Grant Morrison magic, it'll probably come up, right? On YouTube?
Probably, yeah.
Or if you're like me and don't use Google services, you can go to Invidious and, get the YouTube videos. It's INDIVIO.US. They take YouTube videos and download them and serve them themselves.
Nice.
They must have like a giant infrastructure because
yeah, I'm sure
any YouTube video is on this website and no information goes back to YouTube. So
what was the weirdest thing that happened in the tank?
I think just the floating part is the weirdest thing. Mm-hmm.
Your brain didn't go anywhere.
My brain did go places.
Yeah.
But I think the simple fact that the whole time you're there, you're touching nothing, seeing nothing, hearing nothing is fascinating because like you literally never have that experience your entire life.
Yeah.
Right? Unless you go in this tank.
Unless you can build memories while you're in the womb.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Right? Like that's probably exactly what it feels like to be in the womb. And let me tell you, if that's what it is, like I would want to just be the fucking womb for like forever. Like, it is the most peaceful thing ever.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Ever. Like, I think for some people it might be boring, to be honest.
Or it could overwhelm them.
Well, yes, but I think both of those experiences would be, two aspects of the same experience, right?
Mm.
Because of the fact that you're not touching, seeing, hearing anything, and there's never a point in your life where that is true. It could either relax you to an extreme or freak you out to an extreme.
Oh, for sure.
And I have read like some stories of people like freaking the fuck out in a tank. Because you just like don't know how to cope with that, right? I mean, when do you ever get that? Like the no seeing thing, like, okay, maybe. The no hearing thing, all right, maybe. But like the fact that no part of you is touching anything.
Yeah.
Like that's fucking freaky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's why I read comics. I want superpowers. And guess what? I had a superpower in this fucking tank because I was floating. And it is really amazing. Just like within a few minutes. If you just like, if you, as long as you're not freaking out, Now, if you start freaking out, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I was very relaxed. But just like the feeling of floating in nothingness, I think is really amazing. And that's why I wish I would have done it longer. The place that I went to doesn't have sessions longer than 2 hours. So you can do 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, or 120 minutes. I did 60 minutes.
Was it pretty pricey?
It's not bad. I think it was, I think it probably comes out to like $1 a minute.
No, that ain't bad.
I mean, it's not terrible.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at it like, well, it's a massage, you know, that's not a bad price.
Sure. But I really wish I would have done like the max, you know what I mean? 2 hours. Cause I'm curious, like, how the experience would differ. Because like, I didn't feel like it was life changing or anything like that to be in that tank. It was just like extremely relaxing. But I feel like maybe if I had spent more time, that relaxing feeling could have gone further. You know what I mean? But I do recommend, like, if you have the, we'll just say $60 to go in the tank for an hour, I highly recommend it.
Are you planning on going back soon?
So I don't know if I want to go back.
That's how Videodrome starts.
I'm trying to figure out if I want to build my own tank.
Ooh.
Or if I want to find an alternate way of creating the same experience.
Honey, we don't use our bathtub upstairs. I was curious, could I paint the walls black?
No, the bathtub wouldn't be big enough.
Yeah, I know.
Maybe if you, no, not even a jacuzzi. I don't know.
No, you would need a gigantic tub. It'd have to be like 8 feet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
You don't want to be, you want to stretch out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the pod is like, I think 7 foot almost.
And then you're like, baby, can you get these dogs out of here? I'm trying to meditate over here.
No, I meditate in my office, so nobody comes out here. It's fine. But yeah, so that thing, highly recommended.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Highly recommended. Outside of that, I mean, it depends. Like, how much work do you want to do on this? So I tried different experiences to reach different goals, I guess. God, I hate using any of these words because I really don't want any of this to sound like self-help. Because if I had not mentioned this before, I fucking hate self-help.
Just stop.
I think it's bullshit.
Betterment of yourself is a great thing. So just stop.
Sure. So, outside of the tank, which I only did once, and again, fantastic. Mm-hmm, like, purely for the relaxation thing, like, I think it's worth more than $60.
Yeah, it sounds great. I might have to treat myself for my birthday this year.
You should. It's really good. I have heard of people, like, having strange experiences, though.
Yeah, I would think so.
But
I can see people freaking out, too.
Yeah. I didn't have any weird experiences. It was just like super chill and fantastic. All right. Outside of that.
Now, when you go, since you sort of know what to expect, would you go in the next time having a couple martinis, having some shrooms, something?
I will tell you, the next time I would definitely be on shrooms.
Wow.
But just like really light. I don't think I would like do heavy anything.
I was going to say, all of a sudden you're like coming out of that apparatus naked, and then all you have to do is walk over to the person that is the employee and I just want to touch you. Are you real? I just want to touch you.
No, just like very light. Not quite a microdose, but like somewhere between a microdose and like a very gentle dose.
Sure.
All right. So that's one thing that I did. Fantastic. Right. Very recommended.
Yeah.
I read a few books. That's kind of boring, so I probably don't need to talk about that. The cool stuff I think is next. So and I will go in order of least life-changing to most.
Okay.
And when I say this, I don't want you to think that, like, I'm going to start with meditation. So I don't want to say, like, meditation was not life-changing. But, like I said before, I do genuinely feel like it would take a very long time to achieve some of these things with meditation that I achieved with breath work and psychedelics, for example.
So they're not best to worst. They're all awesome. It's just different levels of awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing about meditation, though, is, like, there's so many, like, there's dozens of different kinds of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for me to say meditation, like, really doesn't mean anything. Mostly what it did is mindfulness meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Which a lot of that has nothing to do with sitting cross-legged with your eyes closed and breathing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is, like, quite literally every single step that I take during the day, I think about what I'm doing.
Being in the moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What's the saying? Tat tavamasi. There's different translations for it. The one that I like the most is, you are it. But the one that I think would apply the most to this is, something more akin to, oh God, what's that saying? Like, wherever you're going, there you are.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Something more akin to that.
I've also heard regarding your, you are it. I've also heard it is you.
Yes, it is you. You are it. It is you. There's like a dozen different translations.
Yeah, it's the circular thinking.
Yeah. Tatavamasi is like, one of the things, like, that's one of my major realizations that I've had. I don't want to talk about it now because we've already gone almost 3 hours. Maybe next time.
Okay.
But meditation, fantastic. Find some way to meditate. That's all I want to say there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do this any number of ways. If you feel like meditation is like a foofy toofy, like, fuck self-help kind of thing, then find a way for it to work for you.
Yeah.
I think even like traditional prayer, like Christian prayer, you can turn that into a meditation.
Sure.
Just find a way to do that. I think it's very important. Just understanding where your thoughts are coming from.
Yeah, we all lead hectic lives, but needless to say, you can find 5, 10 minutes, a half hour, an hour.
Yeah.
You don't need a long time.
You don't. No, like 10 minutes really is all you need.
Yeah.
I've been doing 15 minutes in the morning, and then at night, not every night, but at least every other night, I'm doing breath work. So that's really what I want to talk about. Breath work to me has been the most enlightening thing of all. Mm. I'm going to like really briefly talk about psychedelics, but I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it because I know it's not for everybody. But I do honestly think that breath work is one of the best ways to realize a lot of things about yourself and others and the world around you. So breathwork has different names. I don't want to talk about any of them because some of them are like really self-helpy. And again, I fucking hate that shit. Some of it is like kind of new agey, and I also really fucking hate that shit. But basically the breathwork that I've been doing is very simple. So, I start off with a simple breath. Just take a breath in, breath out, and do that a couple times. And then the next time you do it, just slow it down a little bit. So instead of that quick breath, do and do that 10 or 15 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then do maybe a little bit slower than that 10 or 15 times. And then speed up again twice. And then speed it up again twice. And then speed it up again twice. Speed it up against twice. And you're really getting a lot of oxygen in your bloodstream.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting experience. One of the first times that I did this, I had the most, I had the crazy experience, Nick. I have a tough time talking about this because I feel like when I talk about this, I don't want it to sound like some hippy dippy bullshit. Mm-hmm. But I know that's what's going to come out. But I did this for, I think it was 30 minutes, the session that I did. I felt one of the, this is one of the first times, like the third or fourth time, I literally felt like I saw God. Quite literally.
Wow.
It was the most like joyful, peaceful, loving experience that I've ever had in my life.
And did you initially try this breathing experiment to like ground you or?
So I tried this breathing experiment as a different meditation technique.
Okay.
Purely that.
Were you hoping to center yourself?
I expected nothing out of anything that I did.
Okay.
And I think maybe that might be part of the key to getting the most out of it. Like, just don't expect anything. That's why I almost don't want to talk about it. Because, like, I literally had, like, the crazy experience of my life. I haven't believed in God in, like, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And with this one experience, I was like, yep, I've been wrong for 20 years. And there is a process that I've been following, so I'll try to, I don't even know if I can post about it. That's going to be too long. Anyways, I'm sure you can find something somewhere. Look up, holotropic breathwork, shamanic breathwork, something like that. I'm sure you can find something cool that you can do.
Did you share this story with Nelson?
No.
Because I'm sure he would love to know that you became a little bit more connected with God.
Yes. However, I decided not to because I know the way he thinks. And I don't quite feel comfortable enough yet to explain what I found to him because of the deeply rooted way that he feels about his personal beliefs.
Yeah, traditional religious views. Yeah.
Yep.
You don't really need to go into a theological debate.
Yeah. So I just wanted to enjoy myself and have that experience.
Right.
With that said, if you're hearing me talk this crazy shit, and you're like, I go to like, not seminary is like if you're a priest, right? So yeah, not that. Right. I go to whatever Sunday school or some kind of adult. So is there like an adult Sunday school? I'm sure there is somewhere.
Yeah, there is.
I go to some like adult Bible Sunday study. School. Yeah, I go to like Bible study, and this is bullshit. Then I recommend you you really read into what you're learning, and you might realize that it's not any different than what you're learning. But yeah, so the breathwork was absolutely the craziest experience I've ever had. And I haven't even gotten the psychedelics yet.
Yeah, like, that sounds really neat, but I would love to know, is it just the extra intake of oxygen that helps get you there?
So here's part of the issue, because of course I wanted to know, like, how the fuck did this happen?
Right.
Which I think is a normal thing to say.
Yeah, you want to science it out.
Yeah. So I looked it up. So it does seem like it's a mixture of hypoxia and whatever the opposite of that is. Whatever that is. I don't know. It could be, very well be, that. Because you're taking just like slow, deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start speeding up your breaths, but you're taking in the same amount of oxygen, just in less time, exhaling it in less time. And then when you get to a point after like 5 reps of 10 where you exhale and you just hold your breath.
Mm.
And like you hold your breath for like 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Mm.
And you have no need to take another breath. And then you breathe in again, and you start the process over.
It's like deep sea divers training their lungs for like,
Yep. And so you're doing this several times, and like literally you're like, you know, 20 minutes in, you exhale, and you're just like in a different place, man. Like, I'm not even fucking kidding. You're just like not, you're not here.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
And like, if I was breathing, I don't remember for like 10 minutes.
Sheesh.
I just don't remember. I was just like, you, out there.
You went you went somewhere.
So it was fascinating. One of the craziest experiences, cause then like, I'm about to talk about psychedelics a little bit, not too much, because we're like 3 hours in and I kind of want to wrap it up. Sure. So maybe next time.
Sure.
But like, if you're doing like a psychedelic, like if you do mushrooms, right? You're like, mm-hmm. Hey, I'm going to do mushrooms. Like, you're going to feel something, right? Like, you know, you're going to feel something.
Yeah, I would think so.
Right. Or like, if you've never done that, like, whatever you, what do people do normally? Like drink beer. You drink like 6, 7 beers, right? Yep. If you drink 6, 7 beers, you know, like you're going to feel pretty buzzed,
mm-hmm.
right? If you smoke weed, like you're going to be high,
right?
Right. So you expect that, but like just off of breathing, right? Like controlling how you breathe, like you mm-hmm. don't expect that kind of thing.
No.
And quite literally, like I had a crazy experience. Matter of fact, the very first one that I had, I did write down, and I did have Ronnie read it, and, Sparky read it.
Great.
If you want, I'll send it to you. But like, this was like a repeatable thing. You know what I mean? Wow. And it's crazy. It was absolutely, to me, life changing. It's incredible. The place where I was at was just nowhere and everywhere at the same time. And I just felt like super warm and relaxed and just like loved. Like, this sounds super weird, Nick. Cause like, again, I hate all the shit.
Stop.
But that's exactly what I felt. And it was completely unexpected. So really fantastic. So the last thing that I also did. Was psychedelics.
Mm-hmm.
And not often. In the past month, 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not very familiar with the stuff. When I was in high school, I did some drugs, but like, that was high school. You know what I mean? That was mm-hmm. 20 years ago. I don't know what's happening. I don't know what the kids are doing nowadays. But I did do mushrooms, not from my home, unfortunately. I did have a shit ton of mushrooms in my house this summer, growing in the yard, and they were delicious, by the way.
Oh, neat.
They were delicious. Oyster mushrooms is what they were.
Oh, yeah. I remember you were trying to figure out if you could eat those or not.
I thought that's what they were, but I wasn't sure, and it ended up, I was like, you know what? Let's just fucking try this.
Yeah.
And they were great. So some mushrooms and a special concoction that I created myself that I'm not going to describe because, again, this is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But really insane experience every single time.
Jeez.
Like really, really insane. Like I almost want to say like the exact steps that I took so people can replicate. But I also don't want to say because like everyone reacts differently to different things. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
I don't want to be responsible for any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But like when was it that I told you? Was that last week?
If they want to know the steps, they can always do hello@nerdylegion.com.
Yeah, sure. If you want to know the steps, email me. hello@nerdylegion.com and I'll think about it. I'll think about it. But Nick,
was this
like,
in a controlled environment? Is this over a weekend?
No. What? 100% controlled. This is in my office. Nobody around me. My wife knows if I'm not back in the house within a couple hours, you need to come get me.
Gotcha.
Because I don't know what's going to happen. And the reason I say a couple hours is because I don't expect anything to begin taking effect for at least an hour. Sure. So that's why I say two. But, God, fucking holy shit.
And then the next 14 hours, you're walking around naked.
No, not even 14 hours. Just like a couple. Like, I could probably, like, write an entire novel out of a single one of these experiences and still not begin to describe the level of craziness and just, like, consciousness that I felt.
Who are you? William Burroughs? Who are you?
Jack Kerouac. So
the romanticized poet.
I will. I'm gonna describe this as meanly and simply as possible.
That would help.
And it will not even remotely begin to describe the craziness that I experienced in any of these times. And by the way, so two shroom sections, one secret cocktail session. The secret cocktail session, by far, the most profound.
Wow.
But again, you can email me. I'll think about it, but I'm probably not going to bother. I briefly talked to somebody about this a few weeks ago. While I was still experimenting with this thing. And, matter of fact, it was more than that because it was before this whole thing. So maybe 2 months ago. And he's like, might try this, but, this person is experienced. I'll tell you who it is later.
Sure.
So for, I would say maybe like 2 hours, not a whole lot, right? Like you start feeling like a little buzzed maybe within an hour or so. You're buzzed for like an hour and then at hour like two, maybe hour two and a half, it's just like all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to go lay down. Not because you feel sick or you feel lightheaded or you feel like you're going to throw nothing, none of that. Just
what were you doing the first 2 hours though when you felt buzzed? Did you try to read or watch something? Or
I was actually, quite honestly, I was playing Hearthstone. Yeah, quite literally. So I'm playing Hearthstone. Okay. All of a sudden, roughly 2 hours later, I'm like, I think I'm going to go chill on the couch.
Sure.
Like, you feel a little tired, but like, that's about it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go chill on the couch. So I finished my game. I go to the bathroom, I pee, I go sit on the couch, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to lay down. I think I'm just going to go to sleep. And granted, it is very possible that I fell asleep, and it might have exacerbated some of these things that I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
But I have no idea, and I will tell you why in a second.
Okay.
So I lay down on the couch, and I'm just chilling there. I close my eyes, and all of a sudden, it's like fractal patterns. Okay. And I wish, like, have you seen that movie? Oh God, what's that movie called? With Matthew McConaughey.
Dallas Buyers Club.
No, the one that was directed by the Batman Begins guy.
Batman Begins guy. Interstellar?
Interstellar. All right. So you know when Matthew McConaughey goes into the library?
Mm-hmm.
You know how it's like, M.C. Escher library?
Yeah.
If you don't know what M.C. Escher is, fucking look it up, because that dude was genius. All right. You know how it's like M.C. Escher library? It's quite literally like that library, except constantly moving.
Wow.
Okay? So, like, all the, like, weird holographic things on the sides, like, just moving. Okay? And not in, like, a pattern, like, sometimes circles, sometimes, like, in and out. Sometimes you're like zooming in, sometimes you're zooming out. And I'm like, all right, I'm pretty sure I'm fucked up right now. Right? Like I'm tripping. So let me enjoy this. So this is not the first time I've done this cocktail. But this is definitely one of the stronger times. So I'm doing this. And there's just, like, different experiences. And this is where, like, I just can't even describe it.
Was the rooms changing shape and stuff and, so, like, different patterns? Was that, like, Inception?
So here's the weird thing. So I had my eyes closed this whole time, right? So I'm seeing these, like, patterns moving around in different patterns. Mm-hmm. Like I said, some of the circles, up and down, in and out, zoom in, zoom out, whatever. And I'm like, this is kind of weird. And then, but I'm totally conscious, right? So I'm like, oh, wait, my eyes are closed. Let me open my eyes. So I open my eyes, and just like everything seems fairly normal. So I close my eyes again. And like there's nothing there. And all of a sudden, like, here comes the patterns. So I'm like, okay, it must be like, because I'm trying to analyze this the whole time, right? So I'm like, okay, like, it must be just when I have my eyes closed, right? And I'm like, oh, I wonder what it is that makes it that way. But whatever, like, let me enjoy this. So I'm doing that. I'm enjoying the patterns. And I'm like, like, what if I open one eye, but I have one eye closed? So I open one eye, and it's like, that is when it was, it's like, it started to get weird. So I open one eye, I have one eye closed, and like, you know, here's the pattern on my eye closed eye. I don't see it on my open eye, but it's almost like it was continuous. So like, if there was like one of these patterns, moving in the direction of my open eye, when it got to my open eye, it would like disappear. But if it was like looping back around, like I would see it like on the bottom of my eye coming back up. Right? Like in the place where it should be.
Wow.
Right? If it was still continuously moving. And I'm like, well, that's fucking weird. So I close my eye again. And then I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to relax and not analyze this. And let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
And so like, that's when like the pattern starts changing shape and like actually starts like cohesing into something that I can recognize. And I don't like remember exactly what it was that I saw at this point. But it's like a shape that I recognize. I'm like, okay, well, I recognize this shape and I'm like, oh, let me look around it. So I'm like moving around it, like literally in three dimensions, moving around it, moving inside it, outside it, just like, so I can see the whole thing. And I'm like, wait a second. Like, this is fucking weird. Like, I'm just chilling on the couch with my eyes closed, right? So I open my eyes. Yep, I'm still here. Close my eyes. Here comes the shapes again. I'm like, all right, let's just not think about any of this stuff. Right? Let's just go with it and see what happens. And now, like, things start turning into, like, real, genuine things. Like, people, environments. And this is when I say, like, I wish I could tell you if I was sleeping or not. Because I honestly don't know. And if I want to go further, like, I literally don't know if I was still here. Because, like, I'm experiencing this whole thing. And all of a sudden, like, something happens. I'm like, well, shit. And I like, my eyes open, right? And I open my eyes and I look around. And like, I freaked the fuck out. And the reason I freaked the fuck out is because I felt like once I opened my eyes, everything that I was seeing was not real.
Oh, jeez.
Like, the stuff that I was seeing before felt like reality, and reality felt like I got thrown into like an alternate dimension.
Wow.
And the weird thing is, like, if you say that, you're like, eh, whatever, like, yeah, you were probably asleep or whatever. But, Nick, like, quite literally, the things that I was seeing in this other place was like I was looking at it in, like, 8K, right? And I opened my eyes, and it's, like, 480p. You see what I'm saying? So that's why, that's why I freaked out.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, holy shit, like, the stuff that I'm imagining, quote-unquote, feels more real than the real shit that I'm supposed to be seeing.
Right.
Right?
Both vivid, yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, to have that experience is unreal.
Yeah, you went places.
Unreal. And fortunately, I realized, well, hang on a second. Like, both of these things are kind of real. Let me not freak out. Let me just relax again. And that's why I'm not saying exactly anything like how many shrooms I took or what this other concoction is. Because I don't want anyone replicating this stuff, because quite literally I was like, holy shit. Like if somebody does this that has zero experience with any of this stuff, like you're going to end up in like a mental hospital. You know what I mean? Like I don't fucking know. Yeah. Like this was some crazy shit. like to feel like what you're, I'm going to say quote unquote imagining, cause I don't know. Quote unquote imagining is more real than reality is just crazy.
Dang.
And so I've had several of these kind of experiences. And it was just life changing for me.
Sounds like you entered a Salvador Dali painting.
Yeah, almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever read, oh God, what's his name? Borges?
No.
All right. So if I guarantee you 90%, 99% of the audience has never even heard of him. but go find Borges. He is an Argentinian author. Absolutely brilliant. He basically invented magical realism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can find a lot of his like short story collections. The one that I recommend is The Aleph. I think that's his best. For anybody that has read The Aleph or will read The Aleph, think about this episode as I'm talking to you. And you will begin to understand like 1% of the experience that I had. Like Nick, quite literally, this was the most life-changing month of my entire life.
Wow.
Just like between just the two experiences that I had. And again, I didn't go into depth about the psychedelic experience because we've gone in like so long already in the podcast. Maybe next time or the one after, whatever. But just when you see these like just crazy shit and it feels more real than like the life you live every single day. It really makes you wonder like how things work and how they're set up. And I will never talk about any of the stuff on this podcast because again, I hate self-help. I hate organized religion.
I
hate like new agey boohoo cuckoo stuff. But a lot of the shit that I've experienced, I feel like is that new agey crazy shit. And so as a result, I don't want to talk about any of it. But I will gladly talk about the experience, and how it made me feel, but I don't know if I will on record, talk about how it changed me and what the insight it gave me was. Because I don't want this to be that kind of thing. And I feel like, religion and philosophy is very much a personal thing. And that's probably one of those things that I should at least explain, because that's really at the core of why I will never talk about any of this stuff. I don't feel like you need a church or a guru or priest or, any of that stuff, a Buddha or anything to tell you how things work. I 100% think that you can figure it all out by yourself if you put some work into it.
Sure.
And ultimately, Nick, that's what I found from these experiences, among other things.
They sound fantastic.
They were great.
Yeah.
They were great. Now everyone's going to be like, Martin's gone crazy in the month he's gone. Yeah, maybe.
No, come on.
It's very possible I did.
Come on. We're only looking for insight here.
That's fine. I mean, if I went crazy, I'm good with it. Cause I mean, like for me, it was profound.
And I like you crazy.
I'm okay with that.
Sounds like you're more centered, more grounded. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I'm great.
Yeah.
I'm great.
No worries there.
Let's
Maybe next time you can go through the books you read.
All right, how about this? I will definitely go through the books I read.
Okay.
I will say this. If I get 20 responses about this crazy fucking experience, I will describe it in detail because I did write it down.
Great.
But if not, then we won't have to worry about it. But yeah, we'll talk about reading next time.
So 20 likes of the post.
Sure, fair enough.
Yeah. Whenever it comes out. It could be 3 weeks from now. Who the hell knows?
It could be never. It could be always.
Aww.
It could be yesterday.
Oh, am I talking to Grant Morrison? Hello, good sir.
Could be. Let me tell you.
You're understanding Grant a little bit more, aren't you?
I've always loved Grant Morrison.
Yeah, we both have. Don't just you take that credit.
We have always loved Grant Morrison.
Yes, thank you.
I have always found his, we'll go with quirkiness.
Mm-hmm. His off-center comics.
Very interesting.
Yes, they are.
After this past month, I'm pretty sure we're in a Grant Morrison world.
Yeah, Grant Morrison could write a Bible, and it would be very spiritual.
Or maybe he's in my world. I don't know yet.
Hey, maybe we're all just living in his world.
It's very possible. That's kind of what he thinks.
I like it. I'll take his reality.
That's isn't that how kind of how he did Invisibles? He's like, hey, I feel lonely. Let me write myself into my comic and find me a hot girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a month later, he finds a girlfriend, and she looks almost identical to the comic book character.
Yeah, he willed it out there into the universe, and it came back.
Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Man,
I like
this 3.5 hours. What's happened? Where's the time gone? Oh, it doesn't exist.
Who's to say? Is that 3.5 hours or 3.5 minutes? We don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
But I will say, I will gladly explain to anybody that wants to know about breathwork, the psychedelic stuff. Maybe. I'll think about it. Unless you're that one guy that I talked to you about previously, I will definitely talk to you about that.
Yeah, you don't want to be responsible for something bad happening.
Sure. So I think it's time to wrap up, Nick.
Absolutely.
This has been... I mean, I'm not used to that. I'm used to listening to you do the outro. Should do the outro.
What?
Yeah.
Hello and goodbye, listeners. Will it be hello? Is it circular thinking or is it goodbye? Yes, it's goodbye. Goodbye, Legionnaires. For our host, Mr. Martin Ferretti, he can be found on the Twitter machine. Just type in Geekvine. He's right there. He'll answer any and all questions. Possibly, maybe. Who knows? Up to him. I am your lowly co-host, Nick Wetmore. Can you find me on Twitter? Yes. Just type in my name, Nick Wetmore. It's right there. Boom. Will you see me writing and reading about Summer of Soups? Yes. I'm down to my last month. Could you reach us via email? Yes. Surprisingly enough, we keep that old cryptic machine going at hello@dirtylegion.com is how you can email us any thoughts, prayers, spirituals, songs. Did you like the Welcome Back Cotter theme? Write to us there. We don't need that in our Twitter time. Hugs and back rubs, spirituals and prayers, we're here for you. We're a little connection. And we're going to be doing more of this. So buckle up, Buttercup. Until next time.